Tonight Show. Let them say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Favorite time of the day when I get to say, ladies and gentlemen, stadium announcer.
Yes.
Philip Hochberg.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Rob Spiewak. Take it away, Rob.
Thank you, singers, and good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Facelift in a Bottle and all the ships at sea. Hey, at least the price of bear gas isn't rising.
Yeah.
It's Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Hello, Robbie, and hello. Thank you. Thank you all for listening coast-to-coast and nationwide via the mighty Westwood One radio syndicator.
That's right.
Don Geronimo, Mike O'Mara. It's Don and Mike Show coming to you today from our flagship radio station, WJFK-FM, Washington, D.C. As I mentioned, we're heard every day throughout America on Westwood One with over 6 million Arbitron-rated listeners every day, and we humbly thank you for your patronage.
We can't begin to tell you how grateful we are.
No thanks, though, to Big Al, your radio pal, Jeremy the Gerbil, Big Daddy Mel, and of course, Donald Monkey Boy. From here he is, my left, and to your right, there he is, the punster, Guy J. Swinger. Hello, Buzz.
Hi, Don. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi. Hi, everybody. It's Mark 15.
Ah, Mark.
Wednesday.
Yeah.
Wednesday, and our phone number, same as it was yesterday, 1-877-365-3636. First, let me announce, in case you didn't hear it late in the show yesterday, we have seriously had some decompression on the Wichita situation.
Wichita, ladies and gentlemen, is a go.
Yay.
Straight ahead, Friday, our people
talked with their people.
Right.
Everything's cool. Vegas show is on.
Good.
Remote is on. Ignoring the newspapers. Make friends with the cops.
Right.
Let the protesters come.
Sure.
Screw them all.
We'll have a great time.
We will be in Wichita Friday, and we are going to be doing the show from KFH in Wichita on Friday. Come out to the Vegas Dial show on Friday. We're past that.
Yes, we're going to have a good time. We're really looking forward to it. It is going to be a wonderful St. Patty's Day, and I would urge everyone planning to come to the show to wear the green.
Yeah. Now, on today's show, well, first, I do want to tell you what happened when I attempted to change my brake pads.
Very good.
Which I did today. But the first thing I want to talk about is something that I saw on the CNN SI channel.
Okay.
And, Buzz, you had a story on the news a couple of days ago about the general.
Right,
my
yes.
favorite basketball coach of all time, Bobby Knight.
Mm-hmm. You once wrote a letter. You corresponded with Coach Bob Knight.
Yes, I did. You know, when this was a long, long time ago, 12 years ago, when he got in all the trouble for throwing the chair.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then he said to Connie Chung, if rape is inevitable,
sit back and enjoy it.
Lay back and enjoy it.
Got in terrible trouble for that.
Sure. And at the time, everybody hated Bobby Knight. I've always liked Bobby Knight. I wrote him a letter.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy wrote me a letter back that said, you know what? You find out who your friends are when everybody's mad at you, so thank you.
Right.
And I've got this letter from Bobby Knight hanging on the wall in my cave at home. Mm-hmm. And I always follow Indiana basketball, and I like it. No, I don't like it. I love it when he does something stupid.
Well, Bobby Knight, I believe, fits into the category of Mike Ditka and some of the other great coaches that have temper tantrums. They keep it interesting. They make the sport less dull for everybody else.
But this one tops every other Bobby Knight story I've ever heard.
Really?
Now, Buzz, you had the story about the guy who's alleging that Bobby Knight yelled at him and the guy transferred out of school.
Right, we touched on that.
Says Bobby Knight is a bully. Well, that's not all that this guy has to say about Bobby Knight.
Really?
There's going to be a special on CNN SI tonight. They're doing a one-hour special on Bobby Knight. And this guy's newest Bobby Knight story is that he couldn't stand playing for Bobby Knight because at one point during the season, at halftime, the Hoosiers were losing. They were getting their asses kicked by Ohio State or somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And Bobby Knight came out of the coach's office with his pants around his ankles. He had a wad of toilet paper with his poo on the toilet paper. He waved it at the team and said, this is what you're playing like.
Wow. Ooh, wow.
Is that fantastic?
Oh.
What a motivator.
Oh, man. My God.
What a motivator.
He actually showed them his own excrement.
Yes. Now,
his own feces.
Yes. Now, the only guy who's validating the story is the guy who quit the team.
So there's no backup on.
Well, right.
I guess everybody else terrified. I mean, Bobby Knight's reach goes way beyond the college years. These guys who have played for him, they keep quiet about this stuff.
They're all very loyal to him. But could you imagine that? Comes out of the John with his pants around his ankles, pulls out a hunk of toilet paper with his poo on it, and says, this is what you guys are playing like? Look at this! And walked around the room and held it in front of each player.
My God.
Look at this.
I'd love to know if they went on to win the game.
I don't know. You got to go watch the show tonight. But that is the single greatest...
The General.
Bob Knight story I've ever heard in my life.
I've never heard one better. I mean, that's pretty incredible.
What a motivator. What a motivator.
Almost makes you want to write him another letter, doesn't it?
What father wouldn't want his son to go to Indiana to play for the great Bobby Knight? Imagine that. Yeah, I'm thinking about writing him a letter.
Well, there might be a couple of fathers that might have second thoughts about it.
Write him another letter. Dear Bob, I'm sure you don't remember me, but I wrote you a letter when you said that rape was inevitable. Enjoy it. And when you threw a chair.
Yeah, and now the chair. What was that? It wasn't the rape was inevitable. You sent him the letter
about the chair, and then right around the time that I got the letter back.
Right.
When I was so proud to get the letter back is when he made the comments about rape.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
He's my man. That's all I can say. Comes out of the John with his pants around his ankles. Now, I don't know if he had his underpants on or not.
I'd love to hear some verification of this. If it is the only guy telling this story is the guy that quit, you know what? There's got to be somebody that would back it up, I would think.
All
this is years ago, right?
No, this is new. This is this year.
This is this year.
This year. Now, all of the players on the team now, who would have the balls to stand up and say it was true? They all live in fear of this guy.
I would imagine that the players, I mean, if that happens, you're going to get a player that's going to at least go back to his dorm and say, you wouldn't believe what the coach did, and then
maybe
somebody else is going to hear it.
Think.
That'll be interesting.
Maybe not. I don't know. Then I was thinking, like you, well, maybe the guy is just making it up. Well, you know, that's a pretty wacky story. You could make up an awful lot about Bobby Knight.
When did this come down? I mean, it's today, right?
Yeah, I saw it this morning on CNNSI.
So I would assume that at some press conference he's got to be asked about it.
I guess so.
So that'll be another chance to roll tape on Bobby Knight, because who knows how he's going to react to that.
Maybe during the NCAA. And when they were alluding to the story, they said, the content of the following story you may find disturbing. and they certainly didn't present it like I did, that, you know, he walked around with his poo. They said, with excrement.
Yeah. Right.
With his excrement on the end of toilet paper. And,
my
and
goodness.
Said, this is what you're playing like.
I guess there wasn't a tremendous amount of detail as to just how much it was.
It was bad.
It was very bad. It was very bad.
Fantastic.
My God.
Jesus, what a guy. I got to write that one down and remember. I got to remember that time. The next time we have a meeting with Charlie Broyhill. Coming with my pants around my ankles and some poo on my toilet paper.
Just remind me the day that meeting happened.
This is what I think of you as a producer.
That is truly amazing.
Right here. Fantastic story. Okay, now, about the brake pads.
Yes. Where are the old ones?
Well, the old ones are still on the car, and I'll tell you why. I had some stuff to do today, and I got back home.
Right.
I realized when I was going to put the brake pads on the car that I couldn't put brake pads on my car by just driving the car up the two ramps, that I would actually have to jack the car up.
Oh, yeah.
You have to free the wheels. Right. So I went to Track Auto. I bought a couple of those jacks, a couple of those those are expensive jacks. Right. I bought one for each side. So now I've got the
car. A real garage in your garage.
Well, I've got the sign.
That's right.
So I've got the two things, the two hydraulic lifts.
Right.
And I lift the front end of the car up, and I slide underneath on my little board with wheels, and I get under there, and I'm looking at the book, and I take off the brake pads, which is relatively simple.
Now, do you have to take the tire off to do that?
Yeah. You take the tire off,
okay.
And then you get the brake pads, and you have rotors. Now, I'm not going to screw with the rotors. I was just going to try to change the brake pads.
Now, when I know nothing about a brake pad. I don't even know where it exists.
It's about this big, and it literally is a brake pad. It pushes against the rotor.
What's it made out of?
To get the wheel to stop.
What's the surface on it? Is it like a cloth? Or?
A gristly, like a Brillo pad texture.
All right.
And it was obvious that the surface had been worn away. That's why I'm hearing this metal on metal.
Right.
So what I did was I just reached in, took out the two in the front, and replaced as best I could with the two new ones. Now, the problem is the two new ones didn't fit as good as the old ones did.
Oh, my God.
So what I did was I put them in, I put everything back on, I put the tires back on, put the car back down, tightened up the lug nuts, got in, turned the car on, drove down my driveway, and immediately a light went on.
Oh, boy.
The light went on, and in my car, to the left-hand side of the console, it's got a little readout where it says, like, windshield washer low.
Right.
Well, it said, warning, Brake failure.
Oh, dear.
Do not drive car.
Thank God for the warning.
And that's exactly what it said. Warning.
Do not drive car.
Warning. Brake failure. Do not drive car. So what I did was immediately drive back up my driveway.
Right.
You know, going 1 mile an hour because I was petrified at this point that I effed up the car, that the car would not stop. Right.
Better in your driveway than out on the beltway.
Mm-hmm. So I got up on the driveway. I went back underneath the car. I took out the new brake pads, and I put the old brake pads back in exactly like they were.
And no more brake failure.
Right, and then I got back, I did everything else. I got back in the car, mm-hmm. turned on the ignition, drove down the driveway.
No light.
No light.
Good.
No light, no
still
nothing.
Making that metal on metal sound.
Yeah, yes it is. Mm-hmm. But at least it's the old dangerous way of driving as opposed
to... There was something left, right? I mean, yeah. It's not just pure...
No, it's not metal on metal.
It's just very thin layer of brake pads.
I'm afraid I'm going to have to tell you, I think I'm a failure. At changing brake pads, and I'm going to go to a garage.
Better for you to be a failure than for your brakes to be a failure.
And I'm just going to tell the guy at the garage, this guy that I know, Stefan, I'm just going to say, just do it. But maybe let me watch.
Hello there. Hello, Mr. Geronimo. Yeah, we're all set to go. Yeah, I'm very busy. Your brake pads are fine. That's right, no problem.
You want leather?
Put leather shoes on it.
Buy a pair of shoes.
Okay, I gotta go. Okay,
so,
thank you.
So that's the story about the brake pads. But what an idiot I am, because at first, I drove the car up those little ramps.
Right.
And I thought, and I'm standing there with the brake pads, I thought, well, now wait a minute. And it took me a good...
Kind of have to have the wheel free to...
Yeah, it took me a good 2 minutes of walking around the car to figure out, what am I missing here?
Well, I'm trying to think what you can do. You can change the oil. You've done that before.
Yes, and I fixed the windshield washer.
And your headlights. Mm-hmm. Well, you don't need the ramps for the headlights.
The headlight is still at a jaunty angle. I've got to fix that.
And as I said, you don't need to, you know, get the car up on those ramps. But now you have your jacks, and you can do all sorts
of... Yeah.
You can put a lift kit in it.
Yeah, what's a lift kit?
A lift kit, well, that's for trucks primarily. A lift kit is when you know those trucks you see sometimes with the big wheels on them and that are cruising along. They're a standard size pickup truck, but they're higher off the ground. It's a lift kit.
No, I don't like that. I don't like that. I think I'm just gonna stick to changing the oil because I did that and I didn't F anything up.
You can put neon under your car. That looks cool.
That is cool.
Right? I like that.
Yeah. That's a good look.
Fantastic.
That's a good look. Oh, listen, I want to get to a couple of calls. Here's a guy, the guy from Maine who sent me the Volvo garage sign light
yesterday.
What
a good guy this is.
Hello, John, are you the guy who sent me that sign?
Yes, I sure did.
Well, you're wonderful, and I want to tell you that our engineer Wendell got the new fluorescent tubes for it. And I hung that baby up in my garage and turned the light on, and it looked fantastic.
I know.
Service department.
That's where I had it for a couple of years. It was right over my toolbox.
Oh, you're very nice, and I thank you very much for that.
No problem. You should have gave us a call. We would have walked you through whatever you screwed up doing the brake pads.
Do you have a shiny new light over your workstation now, sir?
No, I have a blank spot on the wall.
What a generous sort this is.
Hey, nice. I'm sorry I couldn't send something for everybody.
I'm not even sure that I bought the right brake pads. That might be the problem.
Well, yeah, the aftermarket ones don't fit nearly as well as the genuine Volvo ones.
Well, there you go. Problems solved.
Absolutely.
I didn't want to spend the time to go all the way to the Volvo dealership in Bethesda to buy the real McGillis. So I just bought what I thought was, you know, like buying the generic brake pad.
Sure, right.
Well, and if you had got them on, they probably would have squealed anyway. A lot of times that happens.
Well, I just
got like
probably
a pig.
Lucky in the long run that you found out right away.
I got flipped out when that light came on. Brake failure. Stop car immediately.
Oh, man.
All right, Johnny, thank you.
No problem, Doug.
Thank you again for that sign. That was wonderful.
No problem whatsoever.
I do appreciate that.
Hello, Mike. You're on the air. Mike.
Yeah.
Hi.
Hey, I love Bobby Knight as much as you guys do, and I really want to believe that story's true, but it's not.
How could it not be true?
ESPN.com had an article about today. There's like two or three other guys that back up motels that are against that guy's story.
You mean guys are disputing it, saying
it's all crap. He's bitter that he never got along with Bobby Knight. And
oh, so there are other players on the team now who are saying that the guy who says that Bobby Knight walked around with his poop, they're saying that player's lying?
The incident in question, he actually came out fully clothed and threw a roll of toilet paper at the team and said, this is what you're playing like. I mean, he kind of said it, but it was a roll of toilet paper that he threw at him, and there was no poo on the paper.
Well, that's what I heard on CNNSI.
Yeah, well, you know, that's that. Now, if it's a brand new story, obviously the guys are coming forward.
Yeah.
And there was no poo on the toilet.
Oh, that's too bad. I want to believe there was poo.
No, I'm bummed out, too.
Well, you know what? I'm going to wait. I'm going to watch the story tonight on CNNSI and see what the player has to say. The guy that nobody believes.
Yeah, the general's got a spin machine, too. It should be noted that, you know, I'm sure that the players would say anything Bobby Knight wanted him to say. You know, go, come out and defend me.
Do you know that he one time?
ESPN.com.
ESPN.com. I got Father Time working on it right now.
I've got it right here.
Oh, dude, Jesus right. Christ, Buzz. You know, you're taking all the fun out of this show
He's
now.
Been practicing is Sorry. What he's been doing.
Oh, yeah.
I got to let the public know.
All right, thank you, my friend.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. That's too bad. Oh, I want to believe it. You know, it's like when someone tells you there's not a Santa Claus.
I understand.
You can still believe there's a Santa Claus.
Well, you believe he's capable of something like that.
No.
That's the important thing.
No, not believe he's capable. Believe he did it.
Believe he did it. Yeah.
Believe he did it. As a matter of fact, I'll embellish the story even further. He didn't even have toilet paper.
That's right.
He was right in his hand. Right in his hand.
How about he just walked down to the middle of the locker room and
took a crap,
swatted,
and dropped a coil.
Right there.
Hey, Indiana Hoosiers.
Just like Sparky Lyle did on Whitey Ford's birthday cake.
This is what you're playing like. You find that, old man?
Yes, I did. Bobby Knight, they had a news conference today. Bobby Knight did not attend the news conference and is not returning phone calls from the Associated Press asking for a comment on that. I'm scanning over the story here. They're talking about there was somebody named Eggers. I got to try to find that in the story, who says that this didn't happen and couldn't have happened.
All right, well, keep researching that, please.
All right, you bet. I'm printing it out for you, too, now.
I do want to believe that story.
Are you doing that simultaneously as you're reading it?
Yes.
See, that's too
multitasking.
He's gotten better. He's picked up his game.
Hello, Jamie. You're on the air.
Hey, Don.
Hey, buddy.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
Hey, listen, when you're working on your car...
Yes.
Keep an eye out while you're looking under the car. Keep an eye out for little feet walking around the car. You might be able to push the car and claim that insurance.
Are you talking about my wife killing me for the insurance money? Okay.
Little Davy Wives feet.
All right, gotcha. So those feet aren't quite so little and not quite so dainty.
All right, Mike.
Okay.
Goodbye. Did you like painted toenails?
Goodbye.
Like the rabbit's foot on Bugs Bunny when he used to see the girl rabbit. Remember that?
Yeah.
Remember the girl rabbit was always like, hello.
The girl rabbit always looked like a boy rabbit, didn't
it? The girl rabbit was just too fat. That was the problem.
Well, first off, Bugs would dress up like a girl a lot of times.
Yeah, Bugs was a better looking girl than the girl. The girl was always, they went for the voluptuous rabbit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they didn't go for the super hottie like, who's the cartoon?
Jessica Rabbit.
No, they went for a rabbit who was super voluptuous and curvy.
Hello, Stacy.
Hello.
Mike.
Good afternoon, Radio Gods.
Mike, hi, you're on the air.
Don, I'd like to walk you through just a couple things there for your brake job. You were so close, it was not funny.
Okay.
Your wife, I'm sure, probably has a C-clamp there in her handy worktop.
A C-clamp? You mean a clamp?
A C-clamp? Sir, Mike, your tongue.
Let me walk it.
My wife does not need a clamp for her C.
No.
Although with the amount of sex we've had lately, you think she'd have a clamp on her C.
Here you go. Welcome to Doc Johnson's Marital Aids. Here's your big C-clamp.
Okay.
Call with your C-clamp. Coming up next. You needed two more things from the auto parts store. A little bit of brake fluid. Small bottle.
Right.
And a spray can of brake pad liner. You spray that on the back of the pads. That keeps the squeal down that the other fellow was telling you about.
You know, all these guys are very right. All I had was two new brake pads.
I had a screwdriver or something like that.
I had none of this other junk. And the ratchet set and, the thing that goes in and takes, the electric screwdriver.
Oh, do you have an electric ratchet?
Yes, we got the whole thing.
Wow.
Cool. All that crap. It was my wife's tools.
It's not a hydraulic one, is it? It's not like one of the air pressure ones.
No, but we've got
that's
the...
That's what I'd love to have. Now, if you really want something, I wonder how much those go for. Those things that go...
Pneumatic
tools. You need a compressor, first of all. You need
exactly.
a compressor, and you just hook it up to a compressor.
Right. Hey, Grandpa, did you print that out for me?
Yes, I have it right here. Would you like me to bring
yes,
it?
Yes, rush it in, all please. Right. Rush it right in, Jimmy Olsen. Excuse me, I guess you'd be Perry White.
One of the great sounds... in life is the sound of an air compressor working one of those lug nut removers.
All right, let me see.
I'm probably not saying the thing properly. Lug nut removers.
All right, former Indiana player Richard Mandeville, interviewed by CNN. This is the story that I saw today.
Mm-hmm.
Said Bobby Knight came out of the bathroom, pants around his ankles, showed players soiled toilet paper.
Soiled toilet paper?
Saying, this is how you guys are playing.
Wow.
That's the exact story I saw today.
Right. Now, where's the... Where's the rebuttal?
At a news conference at Assembly Hall in Bloomington, Indiana basketball media director Todd Sarowitz read statements from a former assistant who denied the bathroom incident.
A former assistant?
Uh-huh. And a former player. A former player. You know, Buzz, there's so many names in this story.
There are, exactly.
It's impossible to figure out.
Eggers is the former player, and he's the one who refutes the bathroom story.
Yes, but a former player of how long ago? I mean, when did he
play for the
Jets? It doesn't say. There's all kinds of former players with Indiana.
Right.
The former player who says that Bobby Knight came at them with the feces on the toilet paper is not the same former player who denies the story.
Yeah, right. Well, that makes sense.
There's two former players involved, one who says that Bobby Knight did it, and
right.
another former player who says he didn't do it.
Right.
Let me see. Eggers, the player who says he didn't do it, but is not, you know what I mean, the second player. There's two former players.
The former player who says he didn't do it.
Eggers is the guy that accuses Knight of showing him toilet paper.
No. Mandeville is.
Mandeville. Right. So Mandeville says he showed him toilet paper with feces on it. Eggers says that's not true.
And right. they're both former players.
Right. Okay, so obviously this didn't happen recently. This happened maybe a season or two ago.
Eggers says, I would certainly remember if an incident like that occurred. Coach Knight walked in the locker room one day with a roll of toilet paper and acted as if he was wiping himself through his pants. And use that to describe our poor play.
Yeah, oh, well, that's okay.
Right.
The statement that Reed, who's another player...
Reed?
The statement that Reed was choked by Coach Knight is totally ridiculous, says Eggers.
So Eggers seems to be the mouthpiece for Bobby Knight, the individual that's defending Mr. Knight.
Yeah, even though
one
he's...
of them.
Even though he's a former player also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So reading the story, I guess there's another guy who says that Bobby Knight... tried to strangle him.
And in all the information, do we have the timeline of when this, in any of the stories of when this was supposed to occur?
Uh-uh.
No. Because I'd love to know when that was.
Hold on. The accusations by Reed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now Reed's another guy. Reed's the guy who says that Bobby Knight choked him.
Right.
That's an old story.
Last
week, right?
The story we had yesterday.
Yesterday. Okay. Transferred from Indiana after his junior season 3 years ago.
3 years
ago.
We
were released earlier Tuesday by CNNSI for broadcast. He accused Bobby Knight of choking him during an argument at practice.
That's more like, I would believe that.
He says that Knight abused him physically and mentally, but did not elaborate. Reed said Knight choked him for 5 seconds. And that other coaches had to separate them. Then they have Richard Mandeville, who says that he came out of a bathroom, pants around his ankles, showed players soiled toilet paper, saying, this is how you guys are playing.
And so we've got one guy saying it's not true, right. And another guy saying it was choked Bobby Knight.
Fantastic.
The general.
Oh, that's fantastic.
My God.
Oh, Jesus. I love that. Hello, Steve. Steve, buddy, hello.
Hey, how you doing, buddy?
Hi.
You know, I'm laughing because I keep on thinking of what you guys talked about 3 months ago. Don, you could never go in to Broyhill and do this because you've never done it. You were one of the few guys I know that never, you don't even look, you just drop.
You're right. I could never do that. I could not come out of the bathroom with my
you
own.
You couldn't. You're too poop prayed.
Poop on a toilet paper.
It was a relief
right.
in this
I
case.
I could bring him in the bathroom, though, and
right.
show him.
Mm-hmm.
I could bring him in and say, look at that. That's what I think of you as a producer.
Well, it's a good segue for me just to say that doctor we had on the show a couple of weeks ago, you know, I was raving in the hallway, and I want to give him his props.
Dr. Bombay.
Dr. Bombay, the guy that was talking about poops.
Right.
That guy that was, talking a mile a minute and said he would send me all this stuff. Well, he sent some of this stuff, some of his product, and I have tried the product, and I will tell you right now that the initial response...
This was the guy who incidentally promised... What did he promise? A 5-foot-long bowel movement?
Yeah, he said one... 1 to 5 feet.
1 to 5 feet.
Let me tell you, gentlemen.
A Hervé Villechaize-sized bowel
right.
movement.
Mm-hmm. You know, I would read the name of the product, but I'll tell you the one place he breaks down. In the layout of his product.
The labeling?
Yeah. You know, it's either R Pure Aloe or it's... it's R Pure Aloe's colon and body cleanse.
Ah.
And I'll tell you right now.
You're endorsing this now.
Twice today, I have had magnificent BMs. And I'll tell you right now, I'm a man... to magnificent BMs. That's just the way it is. You know I've had my digestive troubles in the past, and I would tell you right now that I have not modified my diet.
How do you describe a magnificent BM?
Well, the aforementioned 1 to 5 footer, those just don't happen for me very often.
How big was it today?
I will tell you that length, it was over 10 inches.
I'm going to ask.
I'm going to say.
I know this is gross, but I'm going to ask the next time this happens.
Right.
that you let me come in.
Okay, I'll tell you what.
And verify this for the audience that you have had a 10-inch bowel movement.
I'll tell you what. Since the majority of them happen now today, the second one I had was not like the first one I had. So it was at the office. But I will tell you.
Can you take a picture?
I will take a picture for you.
Take a
because
picture.
Because I'm hoping, you know, here's the problem I run into.
How gross is that? Take a picture of your BM.
I will take a picture, and I'll let you know, you know, if this proceeds, I'm gonna stay on the same diet. I'm still doing that protein diet.
Good.
And, you know, he said, stay on whatever diet you're on and take this stuff. I take the, you know, the powder in a glass, right. And it tastes, and he said this on the air, it tastes horrible. And it's the worst thing in the world. It almost makes me want to gag when I'm drinking the stuff. But I took it this morning. I took a big glass of it. And just moments later, it was, you know, the success.
A big titan turn.
It was truly amazing. Wow. Actually,
the you said 10 inches. I mean, you realize I'm holding my fingers apart. That's like, that's 10 inches.
Yeah, okay, then I exaggerate. It's probably about 7-8 inches.
Okay, 7 or 8 inches.
Which for me is just great. Mm-hmm. You know, it's terrific.
What was the width?
That's hard to say. I mean, it's hard to say. I'm looking down on it, you know, and I didn't get down on all fours to check the width, but I think it was bulkier than it had normally been, because normally I'm a ribbon pooper, you know what I mean?
Right.
And I'll tell you right now that this stuff, I first of all, the way it worked was this. I got up this morning, and I had one that was just normally wouldn't be like that, and I was real. I said, well, it must be. Yesterday was the first day I took this stuff. So I said, what I'm going to do, he said he can take it 2 to 3 times daily, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to have another big glass of the thing and see how it goes. Went out to lunch, came back to the station right after lunch. Kaboom!
Another big one.
Absolutely incredible.
Another big, beautiful BM.
You know, I'm the first guy in the world that would, you know, say nothing or certainly slam the guy if I thought that wasn't legitimate. But, you know, he said this stuff doesn't taste so hot. He's right about that. And this stuff, for me at least, and it's also, you know, this is the second day.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't trust anything until, you know, give me about a month and I'll let you know how this is working.
Yeah, let's wait 30 days to find out, like, if your colon explodes or something.
Yeah, I know, but I'll tell you.
You're taking a product from some kooky doctor that was on our show.
But you know why I took it? I took it because it had all the stuff on it.
It's basically Metamucil with aloe and other herbs in it.
It's all natural, you see. That's
well, take a picture. That's all I ask is just take a picture. I'd like to see a nice big 10-incher, as Aerosmith says. Suck on my big 10-inch.
Man, I'm just reading it now. I'm reading like the warning now.
What does the warning say?
Warning?
Please don't take this if you're a disc jockey.
It just says
and you've had
stuff.
Dr. Bombay on your show.
It says this product contains aloe vera, cascara sagrada, and cenopod.
A little late to be reading that now.
Well, I mean, I just, you know, if, you know, the thing I hate about the label is it's hard to read.
It's hard to read because it's got all this
multicolored stuff.
It looks
on
like
it.
I know we've described it before. It looks like
thanks,
one of those.
Rob.
Looks like one of those cheap "God is my co-pilot" bumper stickers that you see. That it's like done in a flashy day glow neon.
Almost like a hologram or one of those credit card things.
Yeah, hologrammers. That's exactly.
Psyllium
what it
husk
like.
Powder, psyllium seed powder, Oregon grape powder, root, alfalfa herb powder, leaves, stems, fenugreek powder. Seed,
eye of newts,
hyssop leaf powder, papaya fruit powder,
toenail,
peppermint powder,
hair,
dried leaves,
eyeball,
yellow dock powder, anise seed powder,
dried leaves,
coriander seed powder, ginger root powder, so much powder,
spiders,
burdock root powder, chickweed powder, papayan powder,
monkey gonads,
slippery elm bark powder, black. What did I eat? What did they make up? Did I eat?
Now he's worried about it.
Black walnut hulls powder, carrot acidophilus powder, taproot, cascara sagrada powder, bark.
You know, one of these days, here's what's going to happen.
Cayenne pepper.
Cayenne pepper. Yeah. You're going to be sitting on the bowl, you're going to go.
Don't light a match.
And your ass is just going to blow up.
Right, fruit.
You're going to come in one day assless.
Corn silk powder, garlic powder, I'm almost done, red raspberry powder leaves, senna leaf powder, aloe vera powder leaves, echinacea.
You see the word
purpurea herb.
You see the letters FDA on there anywhere?
Yeah, I do, but you're not going to like what it says.
What does it
purpurea
say?
Purpurea herb leaves spirulina powder. That's it. That's all that's in
what's
there.
What's it say about FDA?
It says something. I read it the other day, but it said it says something. No.
What does it say? FDA sucks?
No.
We hate the FDA?
No. I'm going to find it for you, but it's on here. This statement has not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration.
Uh-huh. Right. Okay.
You'll see that on vitamin bottles.
Right. This product is a turn it up. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. I think that's standard stuff.
Right.
Okay.
But it's, you know, everything in there, all natural.
Yeah. True. Sure, that all sounded very natural.
I was wondering, because that explains, the cayenne pepper explains why it burned going down my throat.
Walnut powder.
Hello, Otis.
Hey, Don. Hi, Mike.
Otis, my man, Otis.
He loves us.
Otis.
Hey, where's Robbie?
Robbie's in here with us.
Hey, why don't you do me a favor?
Yeah.
Could you turn to him and say, did you say dildo?
That's another one of these guys wants to be a regular.
That guy calls all the time, and he calls just for Rob.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Oh, hold on. One more call. Mike, the CP comic, is on the phone. Yes. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Don. Hey, Mike. How are you?
Hey, Mike. We're doing great.
It is Mike, the CP comic.
Mike, I don't want to scare you, but I used to walk straight before I took those pills.
Oh, man.
Hey, everybody. How are you?
Hey, Don, Mike, and Buzz, I know you have a big weekend, but Sunday night all week I'm in D.C. If you guys are free Sunday night.
Well, give it a plug. Where are you going to be, Mike?
I'm at the Improv with David Tell.
All right,
He's
the Improv.
He's really funny.
Oh, all right, fantastic. Well, I don't know if we can make it, but we'll certainly plug you. Mike, Mike the CP comic at the D.C. Improv. Sunday night. Beautiful. Thank you, Mike.
Yeah. Hey, have fun in Wichita and Buzz.
Yes, Mike.
Sunday night is swing night at the Improv.
Oh, you know I'll be there.
Save me a front row seat.
That's two. You're above your normal quota there, Mike.
Thank you. I had a nice breakfast. It's starting my day well.
Sure.
Mike, have a great trip.
Thank you, Mike.
Oh,
thank
man.
You. Thank you. Oh,
Christ.
He's
good.
I had my breakfast.
Oh, jeez. My breakfast.
That's great.
That's the first time he's really made me laugh on this.
Oh, that is fantastic.
Mike, the CP comic. All right, listen, clear those lines out. All the guys on hold, I just want to tell me about the break job. Not now. Clear them out, Toya. Let's get a caller 100 to start today's show.
We need to get that call before breakfast.
A prize package selected especially for you and a shot at $1,000 that we're giving away on Friday. Phone number 1-877-365-3636. Be the 100th caller right now.
This is the show.
That's right.
Turn up. Okay, time for caller 100 right now. I don't want to get Chuck Broyhill in here. I got something about him that I found in an article. You know, remember when that cereal guy came on the show a couple of weeks ago?
Yes, the guy from the website.
Right, he wrote a little something on the web about Charlie Broyhill, about his experience with Charlie Broyhill.
Fascinating.
And Charlie also said that he heard the S-word today on CNN SI when the player was describing what Bobby Knight did.
Wow.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi, this is me.
Hi, yes, who is this?
This is Jim from South Carolina.
Jim, shocker, you're from South Carolina.
Yeah.
Jim, caller number 100, are you on the internet, my friend?
No.
All right, well, if you ever...
I know several people that are.
Well, good. Then they will enjoy this, the Roadrunner Prize Pack. It's Roadrunner Internet Service from Cox Communications.
Cool.
That's from Cox Communications, Roadrunner Internet Service, endorsed by Grandpa Burbank.
It's the fastest. And Buzz, we had a question the other day. I don't know if we told you about it. Mm-hmm. Are you, on that commercial, do you do the Roadrunner sound?
Yes, that is me as the bird.
I thought it was Buzz going beep beep.
Any chance we can get an acapella?
Meep meep.
Oh, very good.
And you've also qualified for $1,000 that we're giving away on Friday's episode. Friday, we're giving away $1,000 from OnMoney.com. Bring all of your accounts together with a single, easy-to-use statement from OnMoney.com. See and manage your bank and investment accounts and your credit cards with money. OnMoney.com. Please listen to Friday's episode, okay?
Wahoo! That sounds like fun. Thanks a lot.
Beautiful. Thank you, my friend. Okay, I call as my first witness Carlos Broyhill.
Wonderful.
Charles Broyhill, where's he at?
Come here.
Charlie! Here comes the happy-go-lucky producer of the Don and Mike show.
Here he comes.
Giggles.
Hello.
Broyhill. Giggles?
Yeah.
You saw a different piece on CNNSI, and they used the S-word?
They used the S-word.
Ooh.
I was surprised.
What was the quote?
He held up a wad of toilet paper and said, "You're playing just like this S."
Oh, my gosh.
And they didn't beep it out or anything?
Beep or anything.
Ain't that something?
Wow.
I'd love to have a tape of that, because when I saw it, they just talked about it. They didn't play the actual tape of the guy.
Yeah. They said teeth on NYPD Blue last night, but of course they didn't
say. They say the T word all the time on NYPD Blue.
Mm-hmm. I know.
That's what I really wish we could say.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
I know.
I wish we could say it. I wish we could say tough titties.
Right.
You know. Mm-hmm. I wish we could say just if a girl has... You know, nice.
Wow, nice.
Teat. Yeah. But we can't. We can't use...
We're not allowed.
We have to use teat, which, of course, is what a cow has.
That's right. And you know, heard the news story the other day about the, you know, the big protests about cow's milk.
That's right.
Yeah, they're encouraging people to drink beer now because it's cruel for the cows to give milk.
Please. That's what cows are here for.
Right.
All right, here's what it says about Charlie Broyhill. This is, remember, last week we did an interview with a guy who writes...
Joe Shea.
An online, that's his name.
I will always remember someone's, an Irish name if it's related to me, and I have Shays in my family tree.
That's the guy's name, and he writes this
thank you, Rob.
Online serial column called The Empty Bowl. It's at TheEmptyBowl.com.
By Joe Shea.
And here's what Joe Shea wrote. He wrote, being on the Don and Mike show. And more than a behind-the-scenes look at being on the show, it really is a behind-the-scenes look at what it's like to work with Charles Broyhill.
Oh, my God.
So here's what he writes. I've been a listener of the Don and Mike radio show on and off since fourth grade, ever since my friend Steve told me that Q107 was lame. They're the only radio show I make a point to listen to other than Stern. On occasion, they make me laugh much harder than Stern does. Sure, it's lowbrow humor, but lowbrow humor is good, damn it. So when Mike D approached me with the idea of celebrity interviews, Don and Mike were the first people I thought of. I mean, they're funny, they'd be into the subject, they're local, and would be good exposure for my site. So I wrote a letter to them, put it on official Empty Bowl letterhead, and faxed it to them. 3 weeks later, I'm sitting at my desk at work, and the phone rings. Hey, Joe. This is Charlie Broyhill from the Don and Mike show. I nearly had a heart attack. I had completely given up on them ever calling. Charlie said he got my fax, and they wanted to have me on the show. Now, I'm a pretty paranoid guy. I usually don't believe anything until I see it, and even then it's fishy. So I was going to go as far as reverse look up the phone number Charlie had given me. The conversation I had when I called him back didn't do much to assuage my fears. And then he gives line-by-line dialogue.
Right.
Phone rings. Charlie.
Yeah.
Me. Is this Charlie Broyhill? Charlie.
Yeah.
Me. Well, I talked to my supervisor, and he said I could get off whenever I want. How's Wednesday? Charlie.
Okay.
Beat.
Meaning that there's a big space.
Silence, yes.
Me. Well, I can leave around 2 p.m., which would get me to the station at 3. Charlie.
They usually don't have guests on that early.
I can pencil you in at 4:15. Me. That's fine.
Beat.
Me. So do I just come in and say I'm here for the Don and Mike show? Charlie.
Yeah.
Me.
Okay, I'll see you Wednesday then.
Charlie.
Bye.
You know, they've made fun of Charlie's phone demeanor on the air before, but I never imagined it was really like that. He wasn't exactly volunteering any information or help.
Doesn't do that with us either, Joe.
He didn't even ask if I knew where the station was located. So I spent the entire weekend going out of my mind because I had no confirmation that this was real, and I was convinced it was a cruel joke being perpetrated on me by one of the other staff members. I finally got confirmation the following Monday when Don and Mike announced my appearance on the air.
There you go.
Don, coming up this Wednesday, we got a guy who writes a magazine called Celebrity Serial. Mike, cool. Don, he's going to come and interview us. Oh, crap, I thought. I don't know anything about serial celebrities, Eat. I've only interviewed 4 people. I talked to Will that night, and his advice was, lie, just make it up. We went as far as to even write a few fake stories, like how Ben Affleck and Matt Damon are writing a biopic about Captain Crunch, and that Tom Cruise is so obsessed with his character from Interview with a Vampire, he demands Count Chocula on the set. I found out the next day, though, that my lies were unnecessary. And again, now he quotes the show.
Right.
Don. Also tomorrow we've got this guy, Dr. Cereal, who's going to come down and ask us about our cereal choices.
Mm-hmm.
Mike. And what they say about us? Don. Yes, he's writing a book. So I mean, it's obvious.
Yeah.
You know, we don't know anything about this guy because we've not had any communication with Charlie. And the guy is figuring this out by listening to the show now.
He's figuring out what he is expected to bring us.
Right. Okay, I thought, this is so off base, I can't possibly feel guilty about not being what they think I am. Plus, we'll make a funny story on the air.
So he had nothing to do with the book.
So, right. Of course, Wednesday morning, I'm going out of my mind with nervousness. I've never been too good at handling high-pressure situations. Sarah passed me some of her beta blockers in an attempt to calm me down. Has anyone else tried these things? They rock. I felt fine all day, and I never feel fine. I got to the station at 3 p.m., even though I wasn't scheduled to go on till 4:15. Unfortunately, Charlie had called me at work around 1:30 to tell me that Christopher Titus from the new Fox show Titus was coming at 4:30, so I was being pushed back to at least 5:30. I left work at noon. I never got the message. Side note, I met Chris Titus in the green room. He seemed like a nice guy. He thought my webpage sounded cool, and he was interested in my copy of Seinfeld and Philosophy I was reading.
Oh, God.
2.5 hours later, two arguments with their general manager in Wichita, and a Christopher Titus interview later, I finally got on the air. I had a great time. Sure, some of the jokes were at my expense, but it was funny, and that's all that matters. Any regrets? Well, yes, but two small ones. First, I wish at least one of the guys had checked out my website before I came on. I'm not sure if my interview sold them on the idea of going on it afterwards.
Nope.
Second, I wish I could have been in the studio when they talked about cereal for 10 more minutes after I left. But hey, beggars can't be choosers. A total recap of Don and Mike's Celebrity Cereal will be in the April edition
of the, what's it called?
TheEmptyBowl.com.
TheEmptyBowl.com. What a wonderful recap of his little experience. Gives a little perspective, and certainly a perspective is, you know, to you, Biscuit, on the phone. That's incredible.
Yep.
Yeah. All right, thank you, Giggles. Get out of here.
There he goes.
I know we describe him like that all the time, but it's just nice to have it replayed. Mm-hmm. That's what it's really like, working with the great communicator, Charles Broyhill.
Yes. Right. Me let you come down.
Wonder if he'll have new headphones for the plane trip tomorrow evening.
I'm sure.
Yeah, I wonder if he'll have some new things sticking out of his ears so he doesn't have to have any human contact.
Well, he goes on the plane. He's got the phone that he has the little plug in his ear with.
Right.
Okay, he's got the ear set for his phone. Then he has headphones with his CD player.
Right.
Then he has headphones that maybe go to a cassette player also.
Sure, sure.
He has like two different sets of headphones.
He's nuts for airport security. You know, they got to pat him down, do a body cavity search every time he goes through.
Got the thing plugged into his ear. Listen, one more thing before we move on. Buzz needs your help here.
Okay.
You are the biggest non-sports guy that I know.
That's true.
So I figure, what the hell, I'm going to ask you to help me with my NCAA thing.
Oh, man.
Okay? Yeah, because I can't do any worse,
right,
with Buzz picking them than I could picking them myself.
But okay. But you have a cursory knowledge, don't you, of the teams that matter? I mean, you should at least.
I think I know who's going to end up in the finals, but I thought it would be funny.
Yes.
You know, just to fill out the
brackets. Especially in the early brackets.
We'll
just
collaborate. You know, with Buzz's queer choices, because Buzz will have no reason for picking a team other than, you know.
Absolutely.
Whatever his old man reasons are.
Right from the gut.
For instance, Iowa State versus Central Connecticut State.
Iowa State.
Okay. Auburn versus Creighton.
Creighton.
Okay. Maryland versus Iona.
Maryland.
UCLA versus Ball State.
Ooh, Ball State.
Syracuse versus Samford.
Syracuse.
Kentucky versus St. Bonaventure.
Kentucky.
Utah versus St. Louis.
Utah.
Michigan State versus Valparaiso.
Valparaiso.
See, that's where I have to go against you, because I think Michigan's going to win it.
No, I always go with the Indiana team.
Well, there's another one down there you should have gone against him on. I forgot what it was, but it's passed now.
It's all right.
Okay,
what it was. It was an obvious one.
Just going to use Buzz just for the first round here.
Very good.
Okay, Buzz. St. John's, Northern Arizona.
Northern Arizona.
Of course. Take the number 15 seed over the number 2 seed.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're officially out of the money.
Louisville versus Gonzaga.
Oh, Gonzaga every time. Oh, God.
Charlie's school. See what I figure? I picked the biggest fag I know to pick these.
Sure, yeah.
Okay, I figure every year I really try to fill this thing out.
Right.
And I never get them, right?
That's right, absolutely.
So what the hell? Mm-hmm. Okay, Buzz. Oklahoma versus Winthrop.
Oklahoma.
Okay. Purdue versus Dayton.
Purdue.
Southeastern Missouri State versus LSU.
LSU.
Texas, Indiana State.
Indiana State.
Wisconsin, Fresno State.
Fresno State.
Arizona versus Jackson State.
Arizona.
Okay, good. Two more brackets to go.
Mm-hmm.
Duke versus Lamar.
Duke.
Right, Duke. Kansas versus DePaul.
Kansas.
Okay, Florida versus Butler.
Butler.
Number 12 seed. Right.
Illinois versus Penn. University of Penn.
Illinois.
Indiana versus Pepperdine.
Indiana.
Okay. Oklahoma State versus Hofstra.
Oklahoma State.
Oregon versus Seton Hall.
Seton Hall.
Temple versus Lafayette.
Temple.
Okay. And one more bracket to go through.
You're doing well so far.
we cannot do any worse.
I know. Just reverse all of these. You'll be fine.
No, I'm really going to go with these picks. Okay. Except for your Valparaiso over Michigan State. Okay. I'm with you. I'm going to submit these as my picks.
All right.
You never know.
It could happen.
Stanford versus South Carolina State.
Stanford.
North Carolina versus Missouri.
North Carolina.
Connecticut versus Utah State.
Utah State.
Okay, that's a giant loser.
Okay.
Tennessee versus Louisiana Lafayette.
Louisiana Lafayette.
Another big loser.
Miami versus Arkansas.
Miami.
Ohio State versus Appalachian State.
Ohio State.
Tulsa versus UNLV.
UNLV.
And Cincinnati versus UNC Wilmington.
Cincinnati.
Okay, that's it. Thank you, Buzz. All right, that's the official
there it is.
Fag bracket.
There you go.
I don't mean fag. No, like, I mean fag like you don't know anything about sports.
Right. That's it.
That's what I'm going with.
Enjoy the March Madness.
And I won't bore you with the rest. I will make the rest of my picks based on, because, you know, then you have to go to the second round, the regionals, the semifinals, and all the way to
you
the
You got some players in there. You got some heavy hitters. You got Duke, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, you got your number one seeds.
Mm-hmm.
Except they picked Valparaiso over Michigan State. I don't think
that
so.
That was a tough one right
number
there.
Number 16 seed over a number one seed.
You correct the obvious one.
You never know when there's going to be a fluke, you know, an upset.
Right. Well, beyond that, who knows? Maybe Ball State will beat UCLA.
Yay, good luck to Ball State.
Yeah, right.
Is Beaver College in there?
Beaver College is not there.
That's a shame.
And sure, Buzz, maybe Northern Arizona will be St. John's.
Sure, maybe that'll happen. That's the one from way back.
That's right. That's the shaky one. All right. Thank you for your help, Buzz.
You bet.
We do thank you. Hello, here's Johnny calling us from Kansas. Johnny.
Hey.
Johnny, buddy.
How's it going?
Going great, my friend.
Hey, I just got one quick comment for you, is that when you get to Wichita tomorrow night, you make sure that you ask them where the trap door is, because you remember the Blues Brothers in the movie when the police came in and surrounded them?
Yeah,
the guys are going to be like that.
Yeah, when they had the trap door, and the chicken wire up on stage?
Oh, without a doubt. It looks just like that place inside.
Oh, really? That's what the cotillion looks like?
Oh, yeah.
We're comfortable in a joint like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we are. We'll get up and sing Stand By Your Man like the Blues Brothers did. Hello, Don, on Mike's show.
I used to play for Coach Bob Knight. I like to get on the air and talk about it.
You what?
I used to play for Coach Bob Knight.
Do you have any idea that how soon we were aware of the fact that you were lying?
Why is that?
It was
maybe 2 seconds after we picked up the telephone.
Might have been a nanosecond, real nanosecond.
Are you on the air right now?
Yes, and we know you are lying.
How do you know that?
We just do.
We do.
I know the general.
We have the gift.
You're a liar. You did not go. First off, you have not gone to college. Second, you certainly did not go to Indiana on a basketball scholarship.
Actually, I went to Penn State University.
You went to Penn State University?
Yes.
And that's where you played for Bob Knight. Who's been coaching Indiana for 1,000,000 years.
I played rugby at Penn State.
You played rugby at Penn State.
And Bobby Knight is a basketball coach. So again,
I was lying. You guys called me.
Of course you were.
Of course you were lying.
I wanted to get on the air and tell you guys how funny you were and how you're brightening up my day.
Well,
thank you.
An interesting way of going about that, Don.
Certainly no need to lie about that, though. Hello, Don and Mike's show.
Hi, this is Sam Huff.
Hey, Sammy.
How's everybody doing today?
How you doing, Sam, buddy?
Oh, I'm doing fine. Did you guys know that Bobby Knight is a personal friend of mine?
Had no idea, Sam.
Oh, is he really, Sam?
Oh, him and I are good buddies. We all go play golf and we go fishing together all the time. And did you know that I defecate just like Bobby Knight?
Really?
Yes, I do. And I do. When I get mad, I tell you what. When I get really pissed off, Sam Huff, the greatest linebacker in the NFL, makes the biggest poops in the NFL, too.
But I guess when you're on those fishing trips and you run out of toilet paper, what's the situation there?
Well, then everybody comes up and shows you
how to fix. Right. Thank you, Sam. Here is Joe Shea, the serial guy.
Hey, Don Mike.
Hello, Joe.
You know, that conversation was done from memory, but it's pretty much exactly how it happened.
I don't doubt that.
Very helpful.
Don't doubt that for a second.
No, we know how absolutely uncommunicative he is.
makes it awkward, doesn't it, Joe?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I asked him, he called me up, he said, well, you know, you can come on next week. I was like, well, you know, what time, you know, when are you going to be in New York next week? I don't know if you guys are, no, I don't know. So he was just, you know, he's, I guess, just name a time, I guess.
He gets a great deal of pleasure out of the awkward responses people give him when they meet his lack of civility.
Right. Yes. Yes, and I would agree. He derives a tremendous amount of pleasure from giving one-word answers.
He loves it, and then, you know, so I'll be on next Wednesday?
Yep.
And then, of course, the normal thing, you'd pause and wait for the person to say, here's what we need you to do. Not Charlie.
No.
Charlie will not give information.
He didn't even tell you where the studio is, right?
Well, he didn't. I mean, he knows that I live in the area, but he didn't exactly, he didn't say, do you know how to get here? I mean, do you know where it is?
That's stuff that a normal producer would do.
I mean
Charlie, for example, I'll give you a perfect example of this. I mean, he's sitting there and he's got, say, airline tickets in his coat pocket, right? And I said, I'll see them poking through. And I'll say, are those our tickets for our trip?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, right. He won't say, do you want them? He will make me say, can I have them, please? Drives me nuts. Absolutely nuts. And now Rob's got one, too, I'm
Hello,
sure.
Robbie. Well, let's recall our nickname for Charlie on our last road trip. I forget where we were, but I remember calling him the Minister of Information. You will find out what you need to know only when you need
yes,
to know it.
On a need-to-know basis.
Right. Yes, yes. He is very... very, very stingy with his words.
What, did you want to come defend yourself?
No.
Really, you want to use some words to defend yourself here?
No, not at all. That's exactly right. If the tickets in the pocket are there,
right. Yeah.
If you want them, ask for them.
Yeah, of course.
Right, that's all
of
you
course.
Have to do.
Yeah, no need. No
yeah, why
need.
Should you volunteer that information?
Maybe you don't want to know.
No, that's fine. I understand that. Raised by wolves. No
it's
problem
extra
at all.
Effort.
That's fine. Yeah, I know it's extra. God forbid you make that little connection between brain and mouth.
No, the brain and mouth is fine.
I know it's fine.
Hey,
you know what?
Use the mouth.
I'll tell you something else about him. You should have an instant message with him on the computer. Because he's the same
one
way.
One syllable.
Yes, on the computer. When he instant messages me.
You go on forever.
Oh, excuse me for being polite.
That's right. Polite. That's the thing.
I'm long-winded. Long-winded. Christ. I write you three sentences and I get back a three-word response. Yes.
Right.
That's
and you know
one
why?
Word.
Now, let me give you another thing about Charlie Broyhill. This is why Charlie Broyhill loves the headset. You know why? So he can be talking, you think he's talking to someone next to him, but he's on the phone, and so you can walk in and go, stand next to him, and then he can go,
only with
hold
you.
On.
Only with you.
Hold on, no. Only with me, right there. I yeah. got your only with me right
no,
there.
No, he does that all the time.
He does that to everybody.
But right. You see, he's got the thing, he plugs into his ear with his phone, and he's got like a microphone. What do? You clip that onto your collar or something?
Yeah. He's hoping that the technology that is exploding in this country will someday, telecommunications-wise, result in his ability to communicate simply by blinking.
I'm hoping for a chip in my brain.
He loves nothing better than walking down the road,
right.
Walking down the street. For instance, with me, we're going somewhere, walking somewhere, and all of a sudden he'll say,
yeah, uh-huh, okay, well, I don't know,
and I will look at him and I will go,
what do you want?
What? Right. And then he'll shoot me a look like,
and he'll sigh,
I'm the idiot,
and I'm quiet.
Because I don't realize that he's talking on his space-age telephone.
Yeah, he'll press one of those little micro buttons and say, I'm on the phone.
Yeah, right. Right.
You.
However, when he calls to talk to my wife,
mm-hmm.
You know, my wife says, he just goes on and on. She has
sure.
wonderful conversations with him.
Of course.
He's a wonderful linguist. He's a cunning linguist.
Yeah. He is. A cunning linguist. All right.
Mm-hmm. You're excused, Charlie.
Thank you.
Thank
Bye,
you.
Joe.
Bye.
Yeah,
I was
right.
really paranoid all weekend, and I did go as far as to try to reverse look up the phone number
I'll
to make
you.
Sure that it really was a number at JFK.
Well, you should have known it was him as soon as it sounded like you were talking to a caveman.
Right.
You know it was Charlie Broyhill. Thank you, Joe. Hello, Matthew.
Yes, hello.
Matthew, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, good, how are you?
We're great, thanks.
I just want to tell you guys that I had one of my nuts removed a week ago Monday.
Oh, really?
Really?
Oh,
why?
Yeah.
Why? It certainly wasn't out of choice.
Absolutely not. I have testicular cancer.
Little testicular cancer? Did they catch it early?
Absolutely.
Oh, good, and they got rid of the bad
process.
Razor. What?
It's quite a disgusting process. I thought they were just like a vasectomy going to my little sac there and remove the nut, but it was cut through the stomach and go in and pull it out that way.
Oh. Yeah, they go in with like an ice cream scoop.
Yeah.
Oh,
Here's Matthew's doctor right now, incidentally, Dr. Martha Stewart.
So toast them in a 350-degree oven until you can just sort of smell the nuts. And then remove them from the oven and place them on a clean cloth. And notice when I rub the nuts.
She is discussing testicle surgery right now.
Absolutely.
Removing a man's testicle via surgery. Here we go. Back to Martha Stewart.
With the cloth, the skin kind of just fall off. I'm going to get the nuts as clean as possible. Every speck doesn't have to come off.
It's not very sanitary.
If you rub hard enough, most of the skin will pop right off the nut. It's a simple way to do a lot of nuts in a short period of time.
Right.
Thank you, Dr. Stewart.
She can remove like 5-6 testicles in 10 minutes.
Probably did this guy's surgery.
Boom, boom, boom. Well, did they give you the testicle afterwards?
No, I was not fortunate enough to receive that.
Yeah, it probably went right off to the lab.
Yeah.
And then right into a box of Raisin Bran.
Well, the bad part about it is I can't scratch my nuts anymore. I can only scratch my nut.
Yeah.
Something to get used to.
Okay. Thank you, my friend.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Sorry. I have a story to tell.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
It's okay. He'll be all right.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike.
He's having a ball.
He could still laugh at one of Buzz's slap nut jokes.
Yeah.
Just not one of Buzz's slap nuts jokes.
It only takes one. He is slap nut funny.
He could still get his nut off.
Right?
Because they don't say get your nuts off.
That's
they just
right.
say get your nut off.
But whatever you do, never call him nuts.
Hello, Ken.
Don, Mike, Buzz.
Hi.
I'd like to thank you all, first off, for making me laugh 5 times a week. But, Don, you especially, because last week you were talking about how you got under your car and changed the oil, and it was a little bit therapeutic, and my car needed all that crap, too, like it, and screwed by the man, so you talked me into it pretty much. And I got to tell you, goddamn, I felt like such a man afterwards.
Yes, I tell you, it makes you feel like a man to get under your car and do that crap.
And I swear, I saved myself at least $100 because, you know, you go in, they find something, and my car's running great.
Beautiful. All right, thank you, sir.
Terrific.
I'm a walking inspiration.
Thank you.
No.
Thank you very much. Thanks a lot. Thanks for getting under your car.
Hey, thank you. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey. I got a nut that's 3 times smaller than the other one. Does that count?
No, I mean, it doesn't count if you're talking about one guy that's had his removed. I mean, you would be almost all the way there. Is it getting smaller by the year?
Actually, it is. I don't know if it's running out or what. But it's
atrophy.
It's running out. It's running out of jizz.
It might be twisting.
It could be.
Which nut is it?
The left one.
Have you seen a doctor?
Yeah.
Do you have any pain or discomfort?
No, actually. It's just small. It's like the size of a grape.
And how big is your other one? The size of what, a bowling ball?
Cantaloupe.
Well, remember that tape you had with a guy with elephant tights?
Oh, wow. We once watched the funniest goddamn videotape of this guy with...
cue ball.
This guy with elephantitis of the testicles. This guy had...
cue ball.
You have one that's the size of a cue ball?
No, half the size of a cue ball.
Half
the regular size. Like what? Average.
Size
I don't check out a lot of guys' nuts.
Size of what? Like a ping pong ball, right?
Yeah, right. Hey, I got a question for you.
Tell the story about the elephantitis.
Hey,
you were interrupted.
Just today, the Ides of March is the 15th, 16th, and 17th. It's a bet I got with my wife, and I need to find out from Brain or anybody who knows.
I think it's today. I think the 15th is the Ides of March. Brains, do you know?
It's just one day, March 15th.
Right,
the middle
today.
Day of March.
Today.
Ides means middle.
No, John, but I think you got that wrong. I think it's the Brides of March.
Oh.
It's a bridal thing, because all the bridal magazines come out.
The itchy Ides of March.
Hello, Conger Day.
Hello, Craig.
Don and Mike, Radio Gods.
Hi there.
It's a pleasure to talk with you. I got a question.
Yeah.
I was just wondering what kind of cereal Jack Cassidy would have for breakfast. I'll hang up and listen to your answer.
Buy Krispies. Grape nuts. Hello, Greg. Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Gentlemen, how you doing?
Hey, fine.
Hey, I got a little bit of news for you. I work security out at Arco Arena.
Are you calling from Sacramento?
Yes, sir.
Right on.
And got to know Jason Williams over the past year and a half pretty well, and he really digs on your show.
White chocolate?
Yeah. Mm. I know you guys are kind of closet Kings fans.
No, we're huge Sacramento Kings fans.
Yeah, you got the biggest Kings fan in the world sitting right here.
Okay.
And you know that we found out that Toya, our phone girl, actually J.O.'s thinking about C-Web.
We talked about that.
Yes. Right.
You guys don't know that Jason also kind of has something in common with you. He is from the same county as the ex-Redskins coach, John Gibbs.
Joe Gibbs, you mean?
Joe Gibbs.
Joe Mama.
Oh.
It was a long way to go.
It sure was.
And I said, you mean Joe Gibbs. There's no hesitation. John Gibbs. You mean Joe Gibbs.
We gotta watch that.
Is it the same? It's the same guy. It's the original and the real pro.
When it's the elaborate setup like that, when the guy gave us the call, like, who was the MVP in the Super Bowl when the Jets won?
We have to beware when anybody says he's a big fan of your show, because he says that and he hooks us.
Right.
He knows that he locks us in. I got news for you, pal. It's not gonna work next time.
Right. We eventually catch on.
I want everyone to be on guard for the guy that calls and says, a big celebrity is a fan of the show.
Right.
It's his modus operandi.
Because we know no celebrities like us.
That's right.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, I wanted to speak about Charlie.
What's your bad Charlie Broyhill? Sure, go ahead, honey.
Yeah, he is the nicest guy. I was in one of your contests a year ago, and he was so polite, gave me great directions.
Of course, he wanted to bone you.
Oh, no, I'm married. He didn't want to bone me.
Still, he wanted to bone you. That's why he's nice to women and uncommunicative with men.
Oh, he was so sweet.
Of course he was.
Wrong.
No, but he was sweet to you.
Uh-huh.
Right. We're talking about everybody else.
He is like a caveman to everybody else.
And she hangs on. She hangs up on us.
Oh, hold on. What? Welcome to the Don, Mike, and Charlie show. Yes, hold on. He's coming back. What did you want to say, Chuck?
I just wanted to thank her. That's all.
Get out of here.
Get out of here. Hello, last call. Scott.
Yes, sir. How are you?
Hey, we're great, thanks.
Good to talk with you. One last testicle story for you. I am, too, a uniballer.
Excellent.
You got one ball? Okay.
born with it, or was it removed?
It was removed. However, there is an interesting side note. I had to go to get some testing done to make sure I was going to be able to have some kids, and the doctor would feel this testicle, and he would take these stones and try to match sizes to see if you were normal and so forth.
Oh, I'll tell you right now, my blood is turning so cold right now.
So wait, the doctor would feel your nutsack?
Yeah, man, just the one that was left, you know. And he would feel these rocks with his other hand to try to get them to match.
What, he went out into the driveway and got? Oh, my God. I mean, are they like little prosthetics?
Maybe so.
Yeah.
Paging Dr. Homo. We need you in the air studio.
Now, what I'm going to need to do is put my hand down your shorts, and I'm just going to have to feel your nuts to see how big I think it is.
Would you like the driveway rocks, Doctor?
Yes, I want you to go out by the road and get me a wide assortment of nuts and rocks out by the road.
Smooth or rough, Doctor?
Give me both, but I'll tell you right now, this one I'm feeling in my right hand feels very smooth.
I'll get you some smooth rocks, Doctor.
Well, very smooth.
These stones seem to be stone or smooth, and he told me that mine was greatly enhanced, larger than a normal testicle.
I want to tell you something.
Were you impressed with that, with his larger testicle, Doctor?
It's a gigantic testicle. I mean, it is enormous. God, it's gorgeous.
And then the same doctor gave me the old,
rectal exam?
You got it.
Oh, Christ, what did I tell you?
Paging Dr. Homo. We need you in the air studio.
Now, listen, I know that you just came in to get your teeth cleaned today. But I'm afraid I'm going to have to give you a rectal exam and also give you a check for testicle cancer.
Now, what's really cool is I've met other people that have been to this doctor and had the same exam, and I'm like, hey, you and I have had the same finger up our... But.
You know, technically, if he put you on his shoulder, he could hold you like a deer rifle.
Yeah. Hey, Don, can I ask you a question about Leah Remini?
Sure.
You probably think this as well, but it seems to me the first time you went out there, there was a legitimate crush going on. And you thought that in the back of your mind, maybe, even though you wouldn't let it, but maybe something would happen.
No. I'm a star effer. And what really happened is, I did have, a crush on her.
Right.
And what happened was, once I got to know her, I found out that she's...
Like everybody else.
Like every other woman on the face of the planet.
She's a very sweet lady.
She's really wonderful. She's really wonderful.
Sure. I'm sure.
She's wonderful. But I got to spend lots of time with her, and I got to see her first thing in the morning, and she's just a girl.
So you got to see her post-honeymoon.
Yes, right.
Absolutely. Hey, you owe me some jelly shoes from WU whatever, when you were by yourself.
Now I'm focusing all of my fantasies towards this naked picture I stare at of Jennifer Aniston every day.
Mm-hmm.
She's now the celebrity that I'm going to fantasize about meeting and going and staying at her house.
Wouldn't that be something?
Yeah,
you have to meet.
I would J.O. at her house.
You'd have to move Brad Pitt out of the way if you did that.
No problem. I had no problem with Angelo, now did I?
No, that's right.
Angelo was conveniently never there.
I bet Brad Pitt's away quite a bit, too.
Sure, he's a busy movie star.
Would you want to meet Jennifer Aniston having the experience with Leah? Because what if you got to know her as a person and it just wasn't that cool anymore?
Hey, if you spend the rest of your life doing that, it'd be fine.
Who cares? I just love to stare at Jennifer Aniston for a while.
Yeah, I heard she's a virgin.
Oh, yeah, right. I got four nuts. See you later.
Oh, I got one.
All right, goodbye. I know you do. Goodbye, please.
He can talk, though, for a guy with one nut.
He sure can. Time out. We'll be right back.
This move.
For Monday, August 10th, 1998. Hope you had a great weekend, everybody. Welcome to the show. I'm Bob Goen.
And I'm Mary Hart. Thanks for joining us. It was a celebration tinged with controversy for Jerry Seinfeld last night in New York as hecklers and protesters went shoulder to shoulder with Jerry's fans for an evening full of surprises.
I always go in the airplane bathroom. Even if I don't have to go, I gotta go in there. It's nice. It's like your own little apartment on the plane, isn't it?
It's really exciting. Really, really exciting.
He stepped up to the mic for his live HBO show in New York last night, wowing his audience. The stand-up did run into one problem, though. He was taunted by hecklers.
It was terrifying. I was not expecting that. I didn't understand you, sir. No, I was right the first time. Oh, beautiful. This is perfect. But it worked out fine.
While the out-of-line audience members were removed from the theater, Jerry's otherwise adoring fans had high praise for the comic.
It was unbelievable. It was everything I expected.
Yeah. Helping you to understand comedy.
Right.
Don and Mike.
Like Jerry Seinfeld.
Sure.
He's on my list here. I've got a list of who hates who in Hollywood.
Oh, really?
A lot of people hate Jerry Seinfeld.
Why? That doesn't surprise me.
Wonder why. Here's a great Jerry Seinfeld thing. Before we get to this list, this is Jerry Seinfeld right at the end of Seinfeld when he was lecturing people.
This was the moment where we decided that Jerry Seinfeld, as funny and as funny a show as he had, it was just wasn't worth it because he was too much of an a-hole.
Just pompous a-hole. Here he is. This is the best Jerry Seinfeld tape we have where he's telling us how the audience is like a child.
This is what he thinks of all those people who have supported him.
All of us.
You have to think of the audience as a child that you're in charge of. And you have to do right by the child. And the child will ask for things that they shouldn't be given. Because it'll make them ultimately less happy. It'll be a better feeling for them. They'll look back on this thing and have something that they experienced in their lives that didn't go to hell.
Right, yeah. Thank God, my life is a mess, but thank God that the Jerry Seinfeld TV show was on every Thursday night, because I had one thing in my life that didn't go to hell.
Yeah, when I'm blowing spit bubbles on that bed, when I'm, you know, I'm surrounded by nobody, I'm just machines and tubes in my arms, and it's my last waking hour, I'll look back at the final episode of Seinfeld and go, well, at least that was good. So,
we don't like Jerry Seinfeld.
Yeah, I mean, a little perspective, that's all we ask.
Right. And you know who else doesn't like Jerry Seinfeld?
Who?
John Voight.
Really?
John Voight says he doesn't like Jerry Seinfeld because Jerry Seinfeld is a pompous ass.
Ah, interesting.
Quote. That is a quote from John Voight.
I like John Voight.
I've got a whole list of celebrities who hate each other. Susan Sarandon hates Mel Gibson.
Really?
And her quote is, Mel Gibson is somewhere to the right of Attila the Hun. He's beautiful on the outside, but he's an a-hole on the inside.
I guess she would be, she's very politically active, so it sounds like she's referring to his politics.
Right. Madonna hates Kevin Costner. Now, I thought, wasn't Kevin Costner in the Madonna movie?
Yeah, she does hate him. You see that right on screen where he walks in and says it was really neat. I'll never forget that scene where he comes back and he says, hey, I loved your show. It was really neat. And then he walks out and she puts her finger down her throat. Remember that in Truth or Dare?
She says Kevin Costner has personality minus. Of course. course you know this, that James Doohan hates William Shatner.
Mm-hmm.
Scotty.
Right.
Melanie Griffith. She hates James Woods.
Well, James Woods is, you know, he's on record saying that he's an a-hole, you know?
He hates a lot of people on here. James Woods is quoted a lot also. He hates other people. James Woods and I co-starred in Another Day in Paradise, but don't be misled by the title. It doesn't describe what was happening on the set. He's such a giant a-hole. Working with him is like being pregnant. In the beginning, you're happy and excited. In the middle, you're thinking, I might have made the biggest mistake of my life. And at the end, you just want it over with.
Oh, my God. That, what a horrible thing to say. I love it.
Now, we should point out that a lot of people said they hate Bryant Gumbel.
Good luck to you. I don't understand why. I've always been perfectly kind to everyone.
So they asked Bryant Gumbel who he hates. And he said he hates Cher. Now, listen to this quote, though, from Bryant Gumbel, who is Mr. Stuck-Up Egotist.
Right.
Cher is not my favorite person. I prefer to be with people who are less enamored of themselves.
Oh, really?
I have an aversion to celebrities.
Okay. Yeah, gotcha. Right. Of course you do, Bryant.
Okay, then they ask Bette Midler, who does she hate? Bette Midler hates Cher.
Oh, that's the second one for Cher.
Because Cher is someone who used to be famous. Now, they asked about...
That's about their recent deal they had. Remember, they
right,
had
a fight.
What if Cher didn't show up or something like that?
Something like that.
Now, John Voight said that he doesn't like Jerry Seinfeld. John Voight's son, Angela Jolie, says...
I mean, daughter.
Yeah, I'm sorry, what did I say? Right. Son, right. His daughter, Angela Jolie...
Angelina, yeah, right.
...says she does not like John Voight, her father.
Right.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
She says, they were just... Now, wait a minute. You know what makes me think this...
I saw them interviewed on Access Hollywood recently.
And she talked about when her father presented her with, I think it was the SAG Award, that it was one of the best moments of her life.
Well, she says, I've made a conscious choice not to talk about my father, John Voight. He and my mother separated when I was two. I did not grow up in a house with my father. I hate my father.
Wow, that's interesting.
That's a quote.
Mm-hmm.
Jim Carrey. Who does Jim Carrey dislike? Tommy Lee Jones.
Really?
Yes. No. TLJ. Working with Tommy Lee Jones on Batman Forever is my worst memory in showbiz. The night before my biggest scene, he said very nasty things along the lines of, you're just a comic from Cabaret, and I'm a trained classical actor. Sorry, Tommy Lee, your snide remarks didn't cut it. I'd rather not act in another movie with him ever.
You know, both James Woods and Tommy Lee Jones have, you know, that's been documented, that there have been stories about them on the set. That
right.
They're not the easiest guys to get along with.
All right, now my real sweetie, Janine Garofalo. Gotta love this. Who does she hate? Mariah Carey.
Hey, there you go.
Mariah Carey is the definition of mediocrity.
Oh.
I agree with
that's
that.
That's a quote.
I totally agree with that.
And you know, it's today... In USA Today.
Yeah, there she is again.
Mariah's got her picture.
That side of her face.
She only gets photographed with the right side of her face.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think she's missing an ear or something like that. I'm not sure how
it's got to be a contractual thing with Mariah Carey.
You only shoot me on this side of my face.
Yeah, and that's when you really lose it for Mariah Carey, when you hear her talk on MTV.
Yeah.
So, yo, I said, Carson, I see yo. I want to do a song that features lots of dancing and singing. Hey, yo, Carson.
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 I'm talking to Carson Daly.
Oh,
you know that prick has a developmental deal with CBS?
Of course he does.
For his own television show?
Oh, yes, Pretty Boy.
Carson Daly?
Yeah, it's gonna be. He's going to be on a sitcom or something like that.
All right, now who does Rosie O'Donnell hate?
Who cares?
Now, you would think she wouldn't come up with a name. Since she's got this whole rap of being the nicest person in the world. I'll give you a clue. It's a talk show host.
I'll say Jerry Springer.
No. Buzzy?
Or Kathy Lee?
Jay Leno.
Really?
Yes, Rosie O'Donnell hates Jay Leno. She says, quote, with Jay Leno, everybody has to like him or he gets mad. On my show, I said, I don't like the way someone comes out on The Tonight Show. And he'll say, that's a nice shirt, Ken. Where did you get it at? Kmart? And he'll start making fun of his guests instead of having conversation. And Jay called me to complain about it. What a baby Jay Leno is.
You know, can you imagine if that's true, though? I mean, take away the fact that we've always had problems with Rosie O'Donnell. Do you think Leno gets on the phone or somebody says something bad and he goes, why did you say that about me? I just can't believe
I've heard that.
That
he does. He did the win.
What a loser.
When he was making jokes about Kathy Lee, called her.
Hello? Is it if I could speak with, I really, really need to speak with Rosie O'Donnell, please.
This is Ro.
Ro, this is Jay Leno. I heard you were... Excuse you. I heard you were talking about me on your show, and you were being very unkind.
Parker! Shut up!
Hello, Rosie?
Tommy's on the phone!
Rosie?
Hello.
Yeah, it's Jay Leno again.
It's Ro.
I heard you were talking about me. I just don't understand why you have to... is there really a need for you to talk, like, you know? Why are you doing that to me? Why are you busting my chops?
Jay.
Yeah. Yeah.
My roids are killing me.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. You know, did I call it a bad time? If I call it a bad time, I can always call you
it's
bad.
It's always a bad time. Oh, these children that I've adopted.
Yeah.
They're pains in the ass.
Oh, congratulations on that. I know you have a lot of kids.
I only adopted...
Oh, jeez.
I only adopted these children so that people would think I'm nice, so people won't figure out what's going on with me.
No, that's okay, Rosie, but there's a chance I don't care about that. Can you
hold
back
on, just
me?
Jay, can you hold on a second?
Sure.
Would be to bed in a moment, Penny.
Who you got there, Rosie? Is that Penny Marshall?
Yes,
former star of Laverne and Shirley. A great show.
Hello.
Hello.
Just get the Haagen-Dazs out of the goddamn freezer. Parker, go back to bed. Mommy's on the phone.
Are you still there, Rosie? Jay's here.
Yes, hello, Jay.
Yeah, I just want you, if there's a chance you could just lighten up on me a little bit. You know, I've never really been I've never attacked you, really. So, I mean, if there's a chance, you just back off,
hey,
all right?
Jay,
you know?
F you.
What was that?
F you.
Oh, man.
You know the way I am. You saw me in the comedy club before I became famous on television. You know that I really have a very, very, very saucy dialogue in real life. I'm not the big phony that I pretend to be on television. F you.
Oh, yeah.
F you. You interrupted me. I'm having breakfast.
I don't understand why you have to... You say you're having... How would you, that's good. You don't need to use profanity. There's really no need to use profanity. I was calling as a courtesy call, and if you feel that way, I'll just chalk this up to a bad conversation.
Jay, excuse me for one moment.
Yeah, all right, I'm still here.
Parker!
Oh, no.
Get in the closet! I told you, do not bother mommy when she's on the phone. Get in the closet now with your sister.
Rosie, I've called at a bad time, so I'm going to let you go. It's really been a real slice of talking to you. Oh, that's lovely. You better do something about that. I got to run.
All right, Jay.
All right, take care. All right. Oh, man, what a bitch.
Oh. I'm coming, Penny.
Oh, I wish Helen Kushnick was still here. I really, really wish Helen Kushnick was still here. Oh, jeez.
I did hang up the phone. Excuse me.
Here we are. Still talking to him. Goodbye. Goodbye.
Bye.
Jay Leno signing off. Iron Jay saying it's time for me to go do some jaywalking.
I hate jaywalking, incidentally.
Oh, come on. It's just how stupid people are. Come on. Oh, my goodness, Rosie. Boy, make sure you get all the pieces.
Alright, here's another great feud. Now, they asked these two celebrities who they hate, and they said that they hate each other.
All right.
They asked Selma Hayek who she hates.
Ah, the lovely Selma Hayek.
Selma Hayek said she hates Jennifer Lopez. She says that Lopez fakes being a Latina.
Great.
And I'm puzzled that producers will hire her to play Latin roles. Jennifer Lopez is an American. Her Spanish is very bad. It's very inconvenient. When she has to be Latin, she's Latin, but she doesn't know how to do it well. They have Jennifer Lopez, who she hates, and she says, well, I hate Selma Hayek.
Oh, meow.
Sure. She's a sexy bombshell, and those are the kinds of roles that she does. I do different roles. It makes me laugh when she claims that she got offered Selena before I got the role. That is an outright lie. I am a Latino. She is not.
Wow.
Okay. That's a cat fight between those two.
Quite a battle going on.
Let me see. Courtney Love. Courtney Love hates Madonna.
I thought Courtney Love hates everybody.
Well, she hates Madonna. So Madonna was popular in the 80s, but the 80s are long over.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see. Oh, here's a good one. Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Wow.
Who does she hate? She hates Susan Lucci from All My Children.
Hey, yes. Now, okay, then I'm with Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
She says at the age of 16, I got the role of Susan Lucci's daughter on All My Children.
Do you remember? That's when we used to watch that show all the time, and when she was on that show.
Susan and I were not best friends off camera, and we're never going to be.
I endured her awful personality for 2 years.
That's
finally
funny.
I just quit. Before I left the show, I won the Daytime Emmy. At that time, Susan had been nominated 17 times in a row and had never won.
Oh, my God.
You can never guess how happy I am that she did not win.
Oh, wow.
So that's good.
I can understand that Susan Lucci would be quite the diva.
Sure. That's good. Oh, hold on. Wait a minute. We got something else about Rosie that just came over Yahoo.
Mm-hmm.
What is this? Rosie wants to be a millionaire. Okay, yes. Rosie O'Donnell is taking her addiction to Who Wants to Be a Millionaire even further. Not content with being just phone-a-friend, the pushy talk show host is actually going to become a contestant on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Jeez, give it a rest.
Mm-hmm. The Alphabet Network has confirmed that Rosie O'Donnell will be joining a number of other celebrities, getting a shot in the hot seat, fielding Regis Philbin's multiple-choice questions.
Yeah, of course.
Blah, blah,
celebrity
blah, blah, blah.
Millionaire, I guess that's what it's going to be. That didn't take long,
right.
No.
Any money Rosie wins will go to charity, as it does when stars appear on Jeopardy, where the questions are often dumbed down to make the celebrities look smart.
Might speak to your theory, though. Your theory about that show starting to run out.
Running out of gas.
Awfully early to start bringing in the, start tweaking it up a little bit.
Who wants to see her play that game?
So pushy, though. Just like Regis and Kathy Lee, and they're all the same.
Let me see. Rosie O'Donnell, despite her millions, clearly identifies with the every man and every woman dreams of contestants. Oh, please, who wrote this? Devoting large blocks of chat on her show to the greedy phenomena, and today running a spoof version. Who's addicted to a millionaire?
Rosie O'Donnell recognizes the ratings value of a hit TV show. That's right. What she recognizes. She wants to glom onto that so she can raise her own ratings. Excuse you, Rosie.
There it is. There she is.
Certified Blouse Clown Inspectors.
Hi.
Don and Mike.
Hey, we'll do a break with some telephone calls. We haven't taken a whole lot of calls on today's show.
All right.
And we're receiving lots of faxes. I got a fax from a guy at a Volvo service center in, looks like it's in California. Don, you did replace the brake pads correctly, since you must have pushed in the piston in order to make the new pads fit. What you needed to do was pump the brake pedal 4 to 5 times. That automatically adjusts the brakes and would have turned off the light.
Oh, wow.
So when you watch your mechanic change them, you'll see that he will have done the exact same procedure as you. Yeah, except I believe what that other guy said, that I didn't have any brake fluid.
Yeah, I think what he wanted you to do is have a little can of brake fluid there, or a little, so you could put a little bit right there on the brakes itself.
And then we received this fax. I'm just going to mention this and then go right by it. That someone faxed us a copy of an actual Don and Mike Las Vegas-style show ticket for the Cotillion.
Very good.
On Friday, March 17th.
Uh-huh.
And then they faxed in the copy that they made, which looks exactly the same.
Ah, very good.
So just be advised that there may be some phony tickets floating around.
They'll be fine. Hey, they're all free. That's the way we look at it.
We got all the problems worked out with Wichita. Mm-hmm. See you Friday night.
We're excited about it.
Doors open at 7:15 for those who do not have tickets. That's all we cared about.
That's
making
it.
Sure that those don't have tickets can. So we'll see you Friday night.
Amen.
Tell the cops to come on in and party with us.
We always befriend the cops. We should make that very clear.
Right.
I mean, we really do. I mean, we've met lots of, long blue arm of the law members over the years, and we do befriend them. That's the way we like the relationship to be, as opposed to adversarial.
Generally, they're very decent guys.
Absolutely.
Sure.
They're hardworking guys that have to be out there, and they're there because they're told to be there.
Mostly cops end up leaving with a boner. they come out, they see some girls, they get a boner, and they leave. And then,
see ya, boys.
No problem. Hello, Ralph.
Hey, fellas, how you guys doing?
Hi, Ralph.
All right, I just wanted to let you know, the other day you had a guy call in and made a comment about these nuts. And y'all didn't really know what he was talking about, so I'm just calling to put y'all down with what the brothers mean by when they say these nuts.
These nuts.
Right.
Okay.
As in these, my berries.
These nuts.
Right.
Right.
It's like somebody could say, hey, Mike, these two guys are looking for you today.
Oh, really?
Yeah, these nuts.
Now, what does that mean?
Meaning as making reference to my nuts were looking for you.
Oh, meaning like a guy was looking for you. Well, that would be like a white guy walking up to somebody saying,
I'm sorry.
Hey, Mike, these testicles have been looking for you all day.
Oh, you mean, so you're talking about yourself if you were to walk up to me and you'd be pointing to these nuts have been looking for you?
No, I guess it's just a thing that the brothers do in the hood.
Oh, now I'm sorry, but I need further explanation. I do not understand.
Or it could be a new crunchy cereal from Los Angeles disc jockey Rick Dees.
Hey, how are you? Hey, Dees Nuts. Listen, after you're done listening to Dees in the morning, make sure you have a big bowl of Dees Nuts.
Dees Nuts!
They're yummy.
Yes, Robbie, now hold on. This is ironic. We're going to get some talk here from Rob Spiewak, the whitest man in this room.
Is it like an insult, almost like...
Toya, Rob, get away. Rob, get away from the mic.
Stop it, Rob, you're too white.
I'm helping, I'm trying to help.
Oh, good.
Let Toya speak. Yes, hello, darling.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
It's a really bad insult. Sometimes a person will say, oh, yeah, did you get that? And you'll say, get what? And they'll say, Dees Nuts. And it's like a reference to saying that their testicles go in your mouth, kind of.
Okay, now use it in a sentence, though.
Okay, so say Mike, you're at home, and I call you.
Yeah.
You answer the phone, you say, hello.
Hello.
Okay. And I say, hey, Mike, did you get that thing?
No, I didn't get it from you. Did you send it to me?
No,
you're supposed to say what thing?
Yeah, you would say what thing.
Oh, okay. Start again, please.
Okay.
I really, you know, believe me, I'm normally at least a little quicker than this. Hello.
Hi, Mike.
Hi, is this Toya?
Yeah, I forgot to give you that thing.
What thing?
These nuts.
Oh, Toya, you're such a kidder. Thanks a lot. I've got to go out and mow my lawn with mayonnaise now. Thanks so much.
Thank you, sweetheart.
You're
That's
welcome.
Great, Toya.
That's great. So you guys got a better understanding of it now?
Right.
As good an understanding as I'm ever going to have. These nuts.
So basically, when you say that, you want to put your balls in some guy's mouth.
Not necessarily. It's just like saying, I got you.
All right, I got it. I know what you meant. Okay, I'm with you. I'm down with
that. I'm sorry, before we let you go, if you could just give me an analogy. Like, give me some put down that it's very similar to. Like substitute these nuts for something that would be a...
I guess you could say like these nuts in your mouth.
Are you playing, or do
no.
you really not follow this?
I don't.
It's like a joke. It's like a thing saying, look, I got you.
I got you. You get that thing I sent you? No, I didn't. These nuts.
These nuts.
Pretty much, yeah.
These nuts. Okay, now I understand.
Thank you, Ralph.
You're very welcome.
Thank you, my friend.
We're all trying.
Thank you, brother. Listen, the rest of these crackers didn't understand, but I got you immediately.
Well, you know, you are the most soulful of all of us.
I'm the blackest man in this room. That's the truth.
Hey, Rob.
And I just wanted to say, Rob, thanks for the cigar that you gave me at the show that y'all came to at the Cancun.
Hey, Ralph.
Antenna, yeah.
Hey, Ralph. These nuts. These nuts. These nuts.
Rob, did you notice I spray painted your car downstairs?
What?
These nuts.
Hello, Don.
Yo.
Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don.
Oh, you white devils.
That kills me.
You white devils. Keeping a brother down.
Yes, okay.
Surely. Hello.
Surely.
Don.
I'd just like to remind you that you are a member also of the Tragically White Club over here.
Not me.
Not you.
I'm the blackest man in this room.
Oh, foolish you. These nuts.
Hello. Some real white guys would say, these testicles.
These testicles.
Yes, hello, you're on the air.
Hey, Don.
Yes.
You care if I get a tattoo with Frida on my arm?
Do I care if you get a tattoo with Frida on your arm?
No.
Do you mean it about...
Maybe I could wooze her over my way.
Do you mean a picture of her? Or
her name.
Her name? No, sure, go ahead. That'd be a wonderful tribute to my wife.
You gonna put it on your bicep, sir?
Well, yeah.
And then, you know, you can be in line, because when I die, which will be any day now, she gets the insurance money. Maybe you can step in, or the guy who hoped yesterday that called in, hoped that my car would fall on me and I would die.
She takes the jack cell from underneath.
Right, so that he could take my place. Sure, thank you.
Good luck with that.
All right, thank you.
Imagine that, you know, you do pass away, and the guy shows up at the door with the big Frida tattoo on his arm. Probably be a step ahead.
The widow Geronimo.
Hi there.
Oh,
you have a tattoo of my name on your arm.
These nuts.
Of course, it's going to just kill him when she sees that it's spelled F-R-E-E-D-A.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
What's up, fellas?
Frida.
You didn't spell it? I didn't spell it right.
Hello.
What's up, freaks?
Hey, these nuts.
These nuts.
Hey, what up?
It's kind of like saying Joe Mama, you know what I mean?
Oh, okay, good. Thank you.
Hey, I just clarified that for you, brother.
I didn't hear you say that.
White guy translation.
That's what I thought.
Sir, Joe Mama.
I knew it all along. Wait, I love it when a black guy talks white. Do that again, please, sir, so I can hear it.
sir. I mean, Joe Mama, like these testicles.
Thank you.
Thank you for helping us.
Hi, y'all.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
I love that.
All these white guys in here needed that help.
Oh, man. Oh, D's nuts.
Hello. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
My brothers.
Here is Soul Brother number one. Tom Gavin. Hi, Tom.
Hi, Don.
Tom the Monster.
Whoa!
Come on. Right, hold on. Let me play your sound effect. Wait a minute. Here we go. Tom, what can we do for you, you
hey,
monster?
How you guys doing today?
We're doing great. How do you, Tom, how do you spell the word nuts?
N-O-T-E-R.
Perfect.
Right.
No, sir.
Right, nuts. Mm-hmm. What can we do for you, Tommy?
I had eggs and corned beef hash this morning.
Oh, you had breakfast at the group home.
It's Wednesday.
No, watch it.
No, you had. It's Wednesday, which means you had breakfast at your group home, assisted living.
Yeah.
Yes, that kind of breakfast will really make you roar like a monster.
Yes.
Go ahead, do it.
All
right.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Tommy.
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I forgot that he only responds to totally direct instruction.
What's going on, guys?
Do the parrot.
Hello.
Do the robot.
Robot.
Do the monster.
Do the big, horrible, louder monster.
How old are you again?
40.
How do you spell 40?
40.
No. How do,
hey.
How do you spell it in letters?
F-O-R-E.
Perfect.
Right.
That's right. He's
right.
A good golfer.
Gotcha. All right. Thank you.
What's going on? How y'all doing?
Tom, got to move on, Tommy.
All right.
All right. He gets off that line quickly, doesn't he?
Hello, Catherine. Well, what song is that?
That's the Uncle Effer song from South Park.
Oh, South Park.
Oh, wait,
sorry.
Guys.
We don't like South Park.
Guys.
Sorry. Yeah.
You know that D's Nuts thing?
Yes.
That's been going around for like 8 years at least.
Can you, well, thank you. Can you play us something like that we'd like?
Oh, yeah. Let's see.
Bro. Yeah. The Rabe song.
Right, he's nuts.
You blow real good, baby.
Yes, but can she triple tongue? Wow.
Well, apparently she can, Buzz. Apparently she can. Thank you, Catherine.
All right.
Bye, honey. Boy, she can hit her fingers on all those different notes, but she has trouble with the phone.
You notice there's been a really great little check of the telephones.
I really, one of our better phone scans.
Here it goes, right here. Here's the demise. Hello?
Hey, Dynamite. Listen, I was wondering if you...
You know what? I apologize. I saw the name Dennis.
And it's not Dennis.
And I thought it was Dennis Murphy. I apologize. The phone scan lives.
Yes. But now that he's heard Tom Gavin, and now that he's heard that you thought he was going to be on the line...
He'll call.
No way I'm missing that.
Hey, have you guys heard that new CD?
What one?
The CD is nuts.
Okay. Okay.
Everyone's having fun at our expense.
Guilty. Guilty. DCD nuts. Jesus Christ, I am an idiot. I am just an idiot. Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hello, Don.
Hello.
Hello, Mike.
Howdy.
Hello, Buzz.
Hi.
Mike, I'd like to ask you a sports trivia question.
Very good.
Who was the shortest cornerback to ever play for the Washington Redskins, and what was his jersey number? Good luck to you.
The shortest cornerback ever to play. I'm going to say Chris Hamburger was a linebacker, wasn't
right?
I'm going to go with Daryl Green. All right, who is it?
Pat Fisher.
Pat Fisher. Number 37.
There you go. Yes. All right.
Pat Fisher, number 37.
Harry gives me an erection.
Very good. Because you know normally when it comes to Redskins trivia,
yeah, you're the king.
I can spew it right out.
You the man.
D's nuts.
D's nuts. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, I got a celebrity sighting for Dynamite.
Who is it?
Yasmine Bleeth.
Did you mention us to Yasmine Bleeth?
No, I didn't mention.
No, that's the, listen, that's the new rule on celebrity sightings. We could give a rat's ass if you saw the celebrity. What you have to do is approach the celebrity and mention our names and then get a reaction.
You can do it any way you want. You know, you can say, you know, I know two really big fans of yours. That's usually the best way to do it. Okay. Or you can say, I know two people that really hate you.
I know two guys who would love for you to masturbate them. She's like Carmen Electra masturbates Dennis Rodman.
I was upstairs right now. She
had a second celebrity with her.
I came down to the press conference a little late. I was upstairs.
Why is that, Dennis?
I was upstairs with Carmen.
Why? What was she doing?
She masturbated me.
That's the greatest Dennis Rodman take ever.
Yes, Dennis Rodman, he will be missed.
She masturbated me. He was late for a press conference with the Lakers.
That's right. I want to say I'm really happy playing with the Mavericks, and I like living in the owner's guest house. These nuts.
All right, what did you want?
Yeah, I was saying I had a celebrity sighting of Yasmin Bleek.
Right, okay, right.
Yes, thank you.
Meant to hang up on you, sorry. Sure. Hello, Dynamite Show.
I've also had a celebrity sighting.
Did you mention our names?
Yes.
Who was the celebrity?
Rick Dees.
Rigdon Dees?
Yeah. No. Mm-hmm. This is a. Mm-hmm. We're not going to walk into it now. Because mm-hmm. You're going to say Dees Nuts.
Thank you.
All right.
Oh, and it's going to start a whole Joe Mama thing. Right.
Step ahead.
Oh, there are times when you have to have fresh breath.
There he is, Rick Dees.
Fantastic.
Rick Dees in the morning.
I'd like to urge everyone to get a little taste of my breakfast cereal.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Last call.
Oops.
All right, just the last call. Hello.
Hi, who's this?
This is Donna Mike. Who's this?
Well, this is Sue, and I'm calling from Green Bay.
Yes, hello, Sue from Green Bay. Yeah, hey there.
Hi.
Hi.
My husband was telling me that Toy had a homework assignment, and she couldn't do it, and I just want to call and tell her that it's really not so bad.
That would be, of course, talking about swallowing.
Yeah.
Yes, Toya has never done. Let me call her back in here. Hey, Toya, hey, baby, come here for a minute. This is for you in Green Bay.
Go, Pack, go!
We love that.
Station, it's not that bad.
Station in Green Bay is something football, right? It's WNFL. That's
right.
Station. Hey, Toya.
We get an update on the homework assignment.
You haven't done that homework yet?
No.
All right, well, this girl from Green Bay, Wisconsin, would like to tell you why you should do your homework. Go ahead.
You know, it's not that bad. Are you married?
No.
No, she's not.
Not married.
Well, that kind of killed the conversation.
Well, I'm just saying it doesn't matter. I mean, it's not that bad. Believe me, I've been married 9 years and...
You know, I would be, this is just my own personal thought here, that if you're trying to sell somebody on something, using the expression not that bad is probably not the best way to do it.
It's actually very exciting because, I mean, believe me, it's well worth it.
Would you use the word tasty?
Tasty is not bad. Tasty's not bad.
Not the best salesperson.
Yeah, I'm getting a little queasy, too, listening to this.
I'm not in sales. I'm in purchasing, so.
I tell you, based on this conversation, purchasing.
Would you use the word delicious?
Delicious is the word I'd use.
Satisfying?
Satisfying is another
refreshing.
Word,
refreshing?
Yes. What's that?
Refreshing?
Maybe not refreshing. I mean...
Toya, has this woman done anything to convince you to change your ways?
Nothing.
Nothing.
She made me hold fast to my belief.
There you go.
That's it. You didn't convince her, man.
All right, honey.
All right, thanks.
Thank you, though.
Bye-bye.
I'll tell you this, he's a lucky man.
Oh, absolutely.
He's a lucky man getting that done by a woman wearing a big foam We Are Number One finger. And her Packer-backer hat.
Go, Pack, go! And don't forget the cheese.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, hey there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, all for your jizz. All for jizz. Oh. All for Brett Favre's jizz.
Yeah, hey there.
Yeah, hey there.
Oh, that's great.
All for Chamora's jizz. All for Chewy's jizz.
Oh, God.
I'm trying to think of all my favorite Packers. All for Reggie's jizz.
Oh, my God.
All for Vince's love snot. All for Lombardi's jizz.
Oh, God.
All right. Time out. Clear the lines. Call Toya.
Yes.
Toya with the virginal throat.
Yes.
Our phone number. Our phone number. 1-877-365-3636. Caller 100 gets a prize package and a chance to win $1,000 on Friday. Good luck calling to win right now.
This is about what has been in there.
And those thoughts did fly through my mind.
Oh,
and then I thought, well, maybe I should I'll just leave and go back and tell Wendell what happened, the engineer, and maybe he can get something that can scoop it out. But then I thought, no, because with my luck,
somebody
will go in and they'll say, oh, look, it'll be the one time that someone goes in that bathroom and sees pee in the toilet and flushes.
Right.
Because generally the rule is whenever you go in the bathroom here at this radio station, There's pee in every toilet.
Let me tell you something. There are more people at this facility that do not flush the urinal or the toilet when they pee. It's
simply as common courtesy, my friend.
It's disgusting.
No training, I guess.
Disgusting, rude.
It's embarrassing.
So I was standing there debating what to do, and just as I made the decision, I'll leave, I'll run and find Wendell. Sure enough, somebody came into the bathroom, so I went into the stall.
You took the plunge?
Shut the door. Just reached in.
How quick before you... Now, were you able to retrieve it with one shot, or did you have to, like,
what, are you
dig around for it?
Are you watching me?
I'm just curious, because I know that's not an easy thing to do.
I got down, crouched like this, not on my knees, but I was squatting.
Water's denser than air.
And reached in, and because I felt like I was going to upchuck...
Right.
I reached in.
Was it a clear bowl when you started? Was it a clean, clear bowl when you started?
Fresh.
Because normally, you know, if there's paper or something in there, you'd finish your business and then flush.
I drink tons of water. If I had gone number two, well, first of all, if I had gone number two, I wouldn't be standing up shaking myself. You know, it wasn't a sexual experience.
I understand that. If you were standing and shaking after doing that, would be very odd, but perhaps pleasurable.
So I squatted, and I looked, and I saw where it was, and I'm about to puke because it's like,
having your head at that level.
The hot smell of fresh urine.
And just being down, you know, we've taken a black light in there. We know that whole area is contaminated.
I reach in, and as I reach in, I realize that my arm... almost up to my forearm, I'm deep in water and urine, and at that point, I feel like I'm going to throw up,
right?
And I just stand up, and I go,
You didn't get it?
I didn't get it, so I had to just take a look, and force myself to look down the toilet.
You know what? What if this happened? I mean, I know it didn't happen, but what if this happened? What if you were down there, you finally had your hands on your ring, and the back of your fingers brushed up against a turtle head? Wouldn't that be fun, huh?
The worst.
A hider, you know?
Jesus.
One that didn't make it all the way down?
Then you'd be talking alone on the radio right now, because I would have dropped dead.
Ladies and gentlemen, Don has passed away due to brushing his fingers up against a live turtle head.
He's out.
He's out of commission.
So I bit the bullet, I looked, I reached in, I grabbed it, I got it out.
What was the total time between when you got it in your hand and getting to the sink?
Record time, like watching Superman or The Flash. I mean...
Yeah, we have good hot water. That's the only thing we have in that bathroom is good hot water.
And I mean, listen, I normally wash my hands after I go to the bathroom. I'll be honest, I don't every time, but normally I do. Mm-hmm. I mean to tell you, I scrub like goddamn George Clooney on ER before he was going to do some kind of operation. I mean, up and down, I'm scrubbing so hard on my arm and my hand. And just
absolutely.
Like, oogie, oogie, bad, bad.
Well, that, you know, it's not just what was in there recently. It's just,
I know.
You think about what's gone before.
I know. It's like, you know, when you have sex with someone, you really have had sex with everybody that they've had sex with. And when you put...
Earl Merton went in there, you know? I mean, let's be honest.
when you put your hand in the toilet full of warm urine to retrieve your ring, you're putting your hand into, you know... Everybody that is stood or sat there.
Incredible people. The list.
You're lucky to be alive.
The list of tons and tons of people, you know?
I don't know, but now...
That red-haired friend of John Pops goes in there.
Oh, no! No! So does John Pop. So does Eric Bickle. So does John Wallville.
Eric Bickle, who you know, really the concept of the courtesy flush.
Unbeknownst to Eric Bickle.
Not taught to Eric Bickle.
Okay, well listen, I retrieved it.
Getting any kind of tingling or itching on your arm at all?
I got it back.
Right. I wouldn't do that.
Yeah. Kiss my hand.
Oh yeah, there might be some live cultures there.
You've let your guard. Just lick my hand.
Oh, man.
What the heck?
Yeah, that liquid dial took care of all that.
Make sure I give all of you guys a hearty handshake on the way out tonight. I know that we normally don't shake hands after the show, but tonight I think we should all embrace and shake hands.
Want no kiss?
Show up you at this bus. How about this? You can kiss my ring tonight.
Okay, I will.
I would have
to. The only thing worse than the turtle head would be if you got bitten. Something living.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, am I calling?
Yes, you are. What is your name?
My name is Chet.
Chet, a little moray eel down there.
Chet, where are you calling from, buddy?
Manasseh, California.
Chet, caller number 100.
You're in the emergency room walking. Oh, yes, you've been bitten by one of those legendary S eels.
You have won the Sopranos prize pack. It means you get the hat, the shirt, the CD, the book. Don't miss our favorite show, The Sopranos, this Sunday, 9 Eastern, 8 Central, only on HBO. But wait, there's more. You've qualified for $1,000. Hey, Mike?
Yes, Don.
These nuts, okay? Because I know what you're thinking of over here. Just trying to...
I'm just thinking the expression that's always used is S-heel, but no, it's not true at all. It's the S-eel. It's a real living creature that lives in the bowl.
Listen, we will be giving away $1,000 this Friday on the show, courtesy of OnMoney.com.
Right.
Bring all of your accounts together with a single easy-to-use statement from OnMoney.com. See and manage your bank and investment accounts and your credit cards with OnMoney.com. Please make sure you're listening to Friday's episode because that's when we're giving away the money.
Okay, I'll listen.
Beautiful. Thank you, my friend. Hold on a second.
You know, who would know that you could take a trip down to the bathroom and it can result in that much fun? I don't understand.
Grand fun.
Finishing up with a legendary... Elusive S-heel.
Yes. What is your lead story tonight on the news and the comments?
Tonight, Mick Jagger is ordered to pay for his love child.
Oh. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Rats on the east side. Bedbugs up, down. Look at me. My hand's in the toilet. He's nuts.
I've been shattered. I've been shattered.
Oh, my God.
Oh, everybody, stay tuned now for the Buzz News and Comments show.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned
for news and comments.
Coming up.
On the Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike show. That was very
professional. This.
Changing stations.
Oh, hey, that's a great idea.
See, then we go to a gas station on Friday.
We
sell gas for
$1.07 a gallon.
Yeah, we'll be changing stations, going to the local Texaco. Yes, sir. Yeah. How's that? A great idea, little buddy. And I'd like to say hi to my new wife.
You're so spontaneous, Jackson.
I love her very much.
Hey, here's your joke sheet.
Hey, thanks a lot. Hey, electric weenie.
This Gallup pollster says naturally SUV owners are being hit the hardest by the new higher prices. This pollster right here.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hold on a second.
He works for the Gallup poll.
All right. I'm sorry.
No, it's all right. I like those pollsters.
So you have tapes today.
Yeah, we just want.
Just, oh, I see.
Just right.
And this is
a Gallup pollster talking about.
This is Larry Michael, Westwood One, Notre Dame Radio.
Talking about the high prices of gasoline and how that's affecting SUV owners.
All right.
Guy with the Gallup poll.
Okay. Here he is. The Gallup poll, you said.
Yes.
Gallup poll. Yeah, there's a Gallup in this.
Pollsters are at the track.
See, you hear it. You actually hear a gallop.
Right.
Yeah, you're right at the end there. There's a real clear gallop.
There's a gallop there.
All right.
So this Gallup pollster says...
All right, here he is.
That's more significant than it seems because SUV owners tend to be very upscale based on our data. So even though they have a lot of money, they're hurting now when they fill up at the tank when they have, you know, getting 6 miles a gallon or whatever it is.
Who is this?
Energy Secretary Bill Richardson.
He doesn't sound like too much of a bureaucrat, that guy. Does he? I'm going to poll. You know where it is? Thank you.
He's nuts.
Energy Secretary Bill Richardson says there's light at the end of the tunnel. He says on the futures market, the prices for gasoline are down. And he says the oil countries are very likely to cooperate in our request for lower prices.
I heard something on the news the other day where they were saying Kuwait and Saudi Arabia, they owe us, and I agree. Didn't we go over and fight
that
war
and save their ass?
Save their ass from Iraq?
There are those who have argued that this administration should be pointing that out to those oil-producing countries and reminding them that, hey, you know, how about a little something for the effort?
Hey, listen, Talhead. You know, you'd be living in Iran right now or living in Iraq right now if you hadn't put up the white flag and said, United States, please help us.
Yeah, Kuwait, thank you.
And look what it's led to. There'll be another truck driver's protest in Washington tomorrow. Truckers,
great. Around the time I'm coming to work?
Truckers from around the country will be here. I've got a whole schedule for you. They'll be here to complain about rising diesel prices. The National Owner Operators Trucking Association says there should be at least 1,000 trucks converging on the city at around 10 a.m.
Where are they getting the gas to drive down for the protest?
Excellent point. Good question.
There's so much hardship.
Very good, Houston.
How can they burn a tank going into the city? You know, why don't they just save it for their load?
The association says there could be as many as 2,500 trucks. Convoys will start moving up Interstate 66 and 95 after 8 a.m. and with a state police escort, they will enter D.C. on the 14th Street Bridge.
Yeah, a bunch of rednecks taking a day off.
And what is the point of that? Other than other than getting in the way of the people who live in the nation's capital,
right,
who have to get to their jobs and
right,
get to their responsibilities. You know, when it's all said and done,
mm-hmm,
BFD, I agree. I don't want to pay $2 a gallon for gas.
No, and I totally agree. As much as, you know, I've said things about truckers, I totally agree that you're talking about, you know, livelihoods and not being able to put food on the table. But I believe the message has been delivered. I think that they've got, that's where they've got representatives.
They already came here
before
and screwed up our traffic once already.
They got their point across. I think they know, you know, they know the point has been made now. And now just let's do something about it.
From the north, they'll come through Baltimore on 95 and I-70 as well. They'll enter the district from the north on Route 50. The truckers are expected to leave town by 4
you know,
p.m.
In all seriousness, the independent truckers, the guys that are really experiencing hardship,
mm-hmm,
it's probably parked in their yard right now because they can't literally, you know, do their job
afford,
because gas costs too much.
Right, exactly. And you know, I don't like alarming New Yorkers anymore,
please,
any more than I like alarming anyone else. But
doomsayer Buzz Burbank, what do you have for us today, Satan?
The virus is back. A dead bird has been found in Westchester County that tested positive for the West Nile virus.
Oh,
that's the
my
virus.
God.
Virus that killed 7 people in the tri-state area last year. The virus is carried by mosquitoes, and some of those mosquitoes apparently survived the mild winter.
Don't touch the birds.
Right, gotcha.
Stay away from the birds.
Thank you, but you love them. For those of you listening to us in New York City on WNEW, welcome.
Not true.
Welcome to the world of Buzz. He has finally been able to bring New York City a piece of bad news that the killer mosquitoes are back. And look how happy he is.
I don't like to alarm anyone.
The virus is back. You didn't have to write it that way.
That's what he lives for. This bird's got the virus.
It's trying to bite me.
Doesn't sound well.
Buzz, time out. Hold on. Let's do a break. We'll be right back.